Become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you.
Good squishy.
What's it like, Bart? Bart? Give me that!
Okay, we're young, rich, and full of sugar. What do we do?
Let's go crazy Broadway style!
Listening to Entertainment Landfill, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
It's gonna be okay.
What makes you think that?
Who knows where thoughts come from? They just appear.
What a moron.
We're done diddly doodly.
Flanders, step out of it.
Thank you, Homer. I don't know what got.
Dad, I think he's okay.
It's better to be diddly than sorry.
Sorry.
Diddly.
With you. Yesterday you were normal, and today you're like the Chinese guy from The Karate Kid. What's with you today?
What's with today today?
Rebellion. Shock me with that deviant behavior.
That is so clever. I swear to God, you get smarter the shorter your skirt gets.
And you get smarter the shorter your hair gets. So it's probably a good thing you went with that.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful look for you, darling.
Thank you.
Pixie drink.
Hello! Hello, everyone. Yes. It's Friday! It's time for Entertainment Landfill. Hello, everyone. I am the J-Strom. Welcome to the show. We're talking film, television, and pop culture every Friday. Last week was our 300th show, so you should figure out what show this is pretty easily. Right, Steven?
That's right.
What is it, Steven? Pop quiz.
Oh, $2.99.
Oh, so close.
I went reverse, didn't I?
It's 301 or 301. Don't you hate when people do that? They call 0-0. Yeah, that's a letter. It's not a number. Come on. No, I'm kidding. I don't care. I would have to be really anal retentive to care about that,
you
wouldn't
I? More so than you are.
Yes. But, Steven the Pop Culture Zealot, everyone.
Hello.
He is to my left. All the time. Every time we do the show, unless you're late or you can't be here. But it's kind of weird. Like, just before the show, literally, I'm telling you 10 minutes before the show, Bill messages me on my phone. And he goes, I don't have internet. And I'm like, yeah, quit kidding around. Just get on Skype so I can,
start
the show.
Just call it on your phone. It's cool.
Yeah. So, he's having some kind of internet problems and he will let me know when he has it back. So it's just, Steven and I for now.
So,
Steven, come on, start talking, all right? So,
there was a helicopter crash.
Mm-hmm. Helicopter crash, Steven.
301, I refer back to episode 1.
There are people...
Thank you.
I forget what you said. There are people...
I don't know, it had to do with the Katrina rescue helicopter.
Right. Oh, my God, what is this?
A rescue helicopter has crashed.
Oh my gosh.
This is, again, going back to the,
God,
it looks like a Coast Guard type.
It never gets old, does it?
Where's...
Yeah, don't put me... and I put these Predator snort at the end.
The very first episode of the show, Steven. How cool is that? And
terrifying.
It survived this long. Episode 301, we're going back to it. We always go back to it, so that's good stuff. I wanted to announce, this is pretty cool, we have a new patron this week.
Woo-hoo.
Robert Bihana. I'm gonna go for it and say that's how you say your last name. Robert Bihana, thank you so much for becoming a patron and supporting the show. If anybody else wants to, go to patreon.com/landfill. It's so cool having patrons. It's awesome. And thank you so much, Robert. We really appreciate it. It's pretty cool, man. Maybe Bill will be able to join us sometime during the show, Steven, but
who knows?
We got this stuff handled. It doesn't matter, right?
We've done this before, haven't we, without him?
Yeah, sure. Plenty of times. We've done non-Bill shows. Hopefully he can... call in at one point or something. I don't know. So, I have lots of voicemail to play, so
Sweet.
We could play that. We have an Adam Sexton voicemail, so let's check that out. Hello, Adam. What's up?
Hello, Entertainment Landfill crew. This is Adam Sexton sending you a voicemail, wishing you good luck on tonight's episode. Once again, I wish I could be there in the chat room, but unfortunately, I'm, here at work because, there's another football game happening tonight, so they're going to need me to be here to
must be football
not only prep Friday the football field, but also to clean up the field after the game tonight. So I just want to get all my work done tonight because I'm planning to get out of town during the Labor Day weekend. So there's that. I do appreciate the concerns you had for me. During that last voicemail, I was drinking plenty of liquids and, I got out of the sun as soon as I possibly could. And, after I recorded and sent the voicemail, most of the teachers had left one of the buildings that I was in and, I found a classroom with a sofa, lied down on it, expecting to take a nap for maybe an hour or so and ended up taking one for about 3 hours. So, thankfully, no teacher came in and surprised me or more thankfully, my boss didn't find me like that, but it was necessary. It was a really hot day. This afternoon when I was prepping the field, it wasn't so hot. We had some rainfall earlier today, and that brought the temperature down, so no worries there. I really enjoyed the 300th episode. The highlights were, of course, the voicemails, because got lots of love and support that way, and a lot of people sending some interesting remarks. There was even some entertaining ones, because I forget who sent it, but there was one episode that used that god-awful Final Countdown song as background music, and the person who recorded it was grateful enough to
masterpiece
end it with just nothing but the solo to it. And what happened during that solo is what usually happens when bad music gets played on your podcast, where Bill, the music lover, critiques it, and is, when he's not critiquing, and he's groaning in agony because it's that uncomfortable for him to listen to. But Jason and Bill are just laughing. Jason and Steven are just laughing their asses off at it. So that's always worth a laugh. Because I was, I tried to even log in the chat room last Friday with my phone, but for some reason my web browser couldn't pick up any sound, so that kind of made it a bit of a moot point. But I prepared for that by re-downloading and re-listening to the best of NIMH podcast, which y'all put out about a couple of years ago, and it still holds up. It was like the second or third episode of yours that I listened to, and it's like a great little 4-hour primer to get an understanding of the dynamics between the three of you, how you handle news items or even coverage of TV shows, and even these little comedy bits, throughout the first, 200 episodes or whatever, and it was still very entertaining. There are some moments that are entertaining and are very funny, but I don't have the context for them. So whether it's, I think like Steven was trying to say like a tongue twister involving Uwe Boll, and it's hilarious, but I'm kind of wondering what's the story behind that. But it was still, it made up for not being able to participate in the live chat. Jason, I appreciate you posting a link to episode 192. I listened to that last night, and there's still a lot of great moments. That final placement video, I'd never seen before or heard about it, and looked it up. It's still available on College Humor, but I don't think it's on YouTube anymore, and it's mm-hmm. It's still a piece of garbage. It's still funny to watch.
Oh, come on.
And of course, thanks to you, I can't get that stupid solo out of my head. I guess another question I have is, during your DVD segments, there are a couple movies that came out this year that have been released to DVD or Blu-ray that my understanding is, and the two movies I wanted to ask about were Lego Movie and Under the Skin. Both of you, unless I'm correct, need to be corrected, both of you were unable to see these movies during their theatrical run. And I think either you or Bill plan to watch them soon. And Lego Movie and Under the Skin are my two top favorite movies of the year so far. So I'm interested to hear what you had to think about them. I haven't watched much. I did watch Noah with Russell Crowe, the Darren Aronofsky movie, and I loved it. It's kind of uneven in places, but I still think it's like one of the best biblical movies that are not so pandering. And I highly recommend you check that out. I am still playing Diablo 3 on my PS4, still killing a bunch of demons and collecting loot and gold. And I'm down at the final boss where you fight the Angel of Death, and he's kicking my ass. I'm going to need some friends to help take that thing out. I also pre-ordered Destiny, and I've never pre-ordered a game before, but I felt I needed to ensure that I had a copy of it for when it came out, and I am so looking forward to that game. I do plan, I don't know if you've heard the recent Past and Pending episode yet. Look forward to any criticisms or your thoughts on it. I do plan to record another episode in 2 weeks when I don't have a lot going on within a given weekend. These past two or three of weekends have been pretty busy. And just wanting to know what kind of plans do you have for the Labor Day weekend, if any. Anyway, I think I've talked for enough right now, and I'll just leave it at that. Good luck with tonight's episode, you guys. Thank you for always making a good podcast, and best of wishes, and I will speak to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Adam. Lee, do you have any plans for this weekend?
Not really.
Doing the show.
I need to get my motorcycle inspected.
You know what I plan to do tomorrow? Because my daughter returned to school this week, Stephen, and I went from waking up around 9 to 10 all summer to 5:50 on the dot every morning. So I would like to sleep in a little tomorrow, if that's okay. Because now I've adjusted to waking up early, and I guess I shouldn't ruin it over the weekend. That would be bad, wouldn't it? Then I'd have to start all over again.
You can push it out an hour or two. Wake up at 7 versus 6.
Yeah, yeah. 5:50 is pretty early.
Maybe 7:30, sleep in.
And it's so funny because Emma would set her alarm, and she would say, I'm going to get up by myself, so you don't need to come and wake me up. I've got an alarm. And I'm like, okay. So every morning I'll hear the little bing, 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 bing. And I look in there and she's just like just sleeping through it, like nothing waking her up. And I'm like, I gotta wake you up because obviously the alarm's not working.
You need the warning alarm.
Yeah.
So loud it scares you.
Yeah. Or have you ever seen this thing? I remember seeing a thing on the news where, it was like, they were testing smoke detectors, and this lady said nothing wakes her children up except the sound of her voice. So they came up with this, like, you know, they had loud smoke detectors, like, beep, you know how loud they are. And the kids were just sleeping through it. So they made one with her voice saying, get up, there's a fire, everyone get up. And they were like, they like all sat up. So I need one with my voice, like,
yeah, record an MP3 on her phone.
Yeah, Emma, time to get up. That's what I need to do, because you can do that now. Like, on her tablet, she has an alarm setting where you could drop an MP3 of anything and make it your alarm. So that'd be cool. Another thing is, you know, all of Emma's friends, you know, they're in fifth grade. I figured it was too young, but apparently not. They all have smartphones.
Right.
And now, you know,
you're
Emma's
contemplating
like,
that.
Why don't I have a smartphone? Because I could really use one. I could text you guys. And I'm like, when would you need to text me?
You're always here.
Yeah. But, you know, I know we're eventually going to
use grandma's or
we're eventually going to have to get her one, you know. Maybe,
know.
You know.
Yeah. I was six. Well,
one of her other friends is that, whenever I see them, you know, 10 years old, and they're always looking at the cell phone doing stuff. And I told her, I don't want you to be like that. Where
right.
I'm like, Emma, hello. You know, it's just like, huh? And I'm like,
yeah,
get out of the cell phone.
Said he was trying to talk to his daughter. She was sitting there on her phone. So he sent her a text sitting next to her. But he sends it so it bogs her phone down. He sends her, Hi, over and over, whatever.
Like, what is this?
You know, it bogs it down.
Dad, let's stop it. I'm doing something important or something.
Yeah, so he sends like hi 20 or 30 times.
God.
She looks up, really, Dad? And it's like, well, got your attention, didn't it?
Get your attention. Yeah. Well, we've got another voicemail, Steve. Oh, and Adam, everyone should check out Adam's podcast, The Past and the Pending. I haven't gotten a chance to, Adam, but I promise you I will this week. Now, I could make up excuses, whatever, but it's just after doing episode 300, I just was like done with the computer and the internet or whatever. Sometimes I get like that just after sitting at the computer for so long working on something. I just want to watch some shows or something like that, but I'll check it out. I'll put it on my phone. Now let's check out a voicemail. This one from Rick. Let's check it out.
Hey guys, I just woke up, so yeah, there's that. I just wanted to send a voicemail and say congratulations on 301. You know, I thought it was all over. I really did. So this is a nice surprise. Have a great show, guys. This is Rick from Australia. Just a short one.
Oh, well, thank you, Rick. That was a short one, wasn't it?
Short and sweet.
Now, Ross and Adam sent a joint voicemail.
I talked to Ross earlier this week because of the big earthquake.
Oh, wow. So, were you in California this week?
No, sir. No, sir.
Were you just seeing if they were okay?
Yeah. I saw Ross on Facebook. So I was like, hey, you guys make it okay?
And mm-hmm.
They're like, yeah, it was 30 miles away.
Oh, that's good. Okay. I'm glad they're okay.
So I had to check on them.
I mean, I knew they were okay since they sent a voicemail. Unless their voicemail is like, help! All right, let's check this out.
All right, episode 300. We did it. When I look back at all the work of those 300 episodes, I just can't help but say to myself, we did it.
We did it. We made it this far.
We did it, you know? All that hard work.
Okay, this is crazy now. we have Bill. Oh, my God. Bill.
Hey,
everybody, it's Mulberry Mill. Woo! How's it going, buddy?
It's going. A little stressful there.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad you're here.
Me too.
And we also have PCZ Steven. You know what's funny is we're playing a very special Ross and Adam voicemail.
Oh, I didn't want to miss it.
I don't want you to miss it either. So, Bill, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here. And let's check out this
voicemail.
I give up. What do I have, a lisp all of a sudden? Let's check out this voicemail right now from Ross and Adam. You know, Adam and Ross. I'm sorry, Ross, but Adam and Ross rolls off the tongue better, doesn't it?
It does.
Ross and Adam. Well, Adam A comes first.
Just do alphabetically.
Adam and Ross voicemail. Let's check it out.
All right. Episode 300. We did it. When I look back at all the work of those 300 episodes, I just can't help but say to myself, we did it.
We did it. We made it this far.
We did it. You know, all that hard work, all those long hours, it makes me feel like a stolen sense of accomplishment.
Yes, precisely. I can't believe the number. It seems like this is very cliche to say, but it does seem like just yesterday they were at 200 and talking about, like, are we going to do 100 more? Let's do 100 more.
Yeah, I know.
Can't believe
I don't know if it's because I live a very full life.
Yeah.
Or if it's because time is going faster or whatever it is, but I have to say, yeah, that's awesome.
It's cool. And I mean, 300 episodes of a podcast, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's so crazy.
Let's see. They are 30 times more than we ever did.
They did Disney.
Yeah,
cast.
I think for our short-lived podcast, we had 10 episodes.
We just don't have any staying power.
No,
and I think that's the thing that we really need to focus on the most here is your guys' staying power.
Yeah, you got a lot of staying power.
How did you first come to find out about these guys? Because I can't take credit for it.
Well,
we have good
stamina. Like everyone else, it seems, I was a pretty avid fan of the Hollywood Saloon, and I was on their forum. And it showed Andy's favorite podcast, and it was Nowhere in Mulberry. And so I was thinking to myself, well, Andy seems like a guy of distinguished, refined
pretty decent taste.
You know,
yeah.
So I'll check it out. And so I listened to it around episode 150, I think, which is actually kind of strange. So right at the halfway point, it was the first episode I listened to was the one where he was playing the clips of the amazing Kleinman from Grand Theft Auto. It was like
Okay, I vaguely remember this.
And I hadn't played Grand Theft Auto,
yeah.
So I didn't know what it was. So I thought that those clips was the show. And I was like, what is this?
Oh, interesting.
And I didn't realize that there was like a 4-minute long intro. And to tell you the truth, so I sit through that and I'm like, this just doesn't make any sense to me. And then Jason gets on and he starts doing his whole,
probably a good bit.
Like, you know, radio producer type shtick. You know what I'm saying?
And
I thought he was being serious. So I was like, why does he like this show?
Yeah.
So it took me a little time to get into
why
it.
Does Andy like the
yeah,
show?
Why does Andy like the show? And so it took me a little time to get into it, but you know, I very soon realized that he's putting on.
Yeah.
And and so I we've prepared a clip. So consider this Twin IM 7.3.
Really? We're up to that number?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. So we prepared a clip because this was the clip that sealed the deal for me. And I was thinking, you know, this is a podcast that I want to listen to, and I played it for you.
Yeah, and that was the first time I had ever heard it, because I remember we were working together almost every day, building my dad's house, and you were like, oh, there's this new show, and I was like, how'd you find out about it? Oh, this movie podcast I listened to, it's these three dudes, they're really cool, they live in Texas or whatever, and you played the clip for me on the stereo on the job site, and I remember like thinking it was funny, and then I don't remember when I started downloading, but at some point we like started listening to, like we would sync up our iPods together,
mm-hmm.
and we'd start listening to it that way, and then like ever since then. But I do remember the Kleinman thing, and I remember being like, is that the dude from Grand Theft Auto 5? Because I had played it a bit then.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when Kleinman. I listened to that episode, I had already listened to others, and I may have gone back and listened to that one. I didn't like stay current with it. But it was right around this time, well, like, you know, when we were... Yeah.
All right, so let's play this clip.
Yeah, roll a clip, Rossi.
This week we had the inauguration. We have a new president. And I thought that – I watched that stuff all day. I thought it was really cool. And now in this day and age of HD, like every channel, it's an HD bill. I thought it was really interesting and really cool. It felt like something special. I watched this thing on Fox News. Okay, first of all, they run out of things to say they're important eventually. All of a sudden, they're talking about they're sporting lovely J. Crew outfits, and you know,
yeah, he's wearing a J. Crew tie.
Yeah, then it's time to change the channel, but not before I saw this on Fox News. Let's check this out.
Yeah. We also need to be affectionate, and you can see that with Barack and Michelle as mm-hmm. well. They do a lot of touching, kissing, even fisting with one another. And when they kiss one another, if you notice, they actually look at one another and kiss each other on the lips.
How does she
and
know this information?
So very important, because couples really...
She has a
like
hidden camera in their bedroom.
...bonded to one another.
Now, what she meant was death.
Maybe they walk with like a kind of a... a gait. After a good night of fisting.
Well, honestly, what this honky lady, this white lady, meant was knuckles. You know, hit bumping knuckles with somebody.
Yeah, bumping fists.
She called it fisting, which is the wrong term to use.
Which they did a lot of in Army of Two.
Anybody ever explained that to her later?
Well, yeah, the reporter, I didn't have it on the clip, but she goes, "What do you mean my fisting is this?" And she hits knuckles with her. She goes, "Yes." And it's like, you guys, just lady. I would say, let's cut and let's read. Do this segment, but it was live TV, so what are you gonna do? So now it's all over the internet. You're screwed, lady.
Even fisting.
Even fisting. There it is. Yeah. That's that.
You played that clip for my dad.
Yeah.
I remember you telling your mom about it.
I told everybody about it because I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, it was. It was really great. That's cool. I'm glad. I remember when we first started listening, I couldn't tell anyone's voice apart.
Yeah.
Like, and that happens a lot when I listen to podcasts. I'm like, okay, I'm trying to put, I've heard names thrown around, but I don't know who it is. And I also remember, like, we must have just picked it up real fast and started listening to it because there was such a big catalog. Because I remember, like, you started watching Fringe, I think, because of this show.
Right? I think I started watching just about everything that I watch now, except for Young and the Restless, because of, nowhere in Mulberry.
Yeah, and I wasn't caught up on Lost because I think this was like during the time of Lost season 3 and we were really into it, but I got to where I couldn't watch it week to week, so I stopped watching it and then just binge watched it when it was out because I couldn't stand like throwaway episodes and stuff, but I think you were staying current with it or something like that.
Yeah, I ended up binge watching like the first 5 seasons of that show.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Just because they were talking about it and it seemed so interesting.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then I was able to catch up and listen with them.
But those are some of the like first impressions I would say of the show that like when we first started listening, and you know, I'm glad that like you found that movie podcast and found it, because it seems like there's so much internet content out there. Like there's so many good YouTubers and stuff, and me and like my cousin have talked before, and we've been like, I think you and me have spoke about this too. It's like, there's probably so many other things out there that are great too. It's just a matter of finding it. And mm-hmm. so like, I yeah, feel totally. Like really happy to have like located this tiny little niche and like ended up the show has provided so much entertainment, so much listening, and we do feel like a family. And like I think I've like texted Jason about it or something before, but like when I was working on my house, like under the house all the time, like really lonely, and just exhausted, like I would just put on those old episodes, and I really did feel like I had like buddies with me there mm-hmm. because like it just got really lonely at a point, you know what I mean? And I'm so glad to have found the show and like just so many good memories and stuff. And the fact that they're at 300 episodes is crazy. It's like really exciting. And with this Patreon thing that's going on now, it's like brought new life to it. I feel like it's like back where it was, you know, I don't know. It's just like totally found the groove, and just so happy the show keeps going, you know what I mean?
Around this time, and we'll wrap up pretty soon, but around this time, like the first couple episodes that I listened to, the ones that really stick out in my mind was when Andrew Dice Clay was doing his impersonations of like Sylvester Stallone, where he was like,
could you pull your legs back a little more?
Yeah.
I can't believe how good this feels. Yeah, I remember rolling. Like, I listened, because that's why I bought my iPod, was because of podcasts. I thought, oh, this is cool. Like, you can listen to specialized little at-home shows. But I had never rolled like with insane laughter the way I did listening mm-hmm. to like that episode. I think was just had me dying, like kept playing the drops and stuff, and that was a big sealer too, was the drops for you. You were like, it's the drops, man, that makes the show. It's like such a good way of calling back to like, it just laughs and stuff, and it's awesome.
Anyway, well, all right guys, we appreciate your show. We can't, you know, we everything you know about how we feel about your show, we've already said before, and you guys know how we feel about it.
True.
We hope you do 100 more.
Here's to 100, 300
No, I'm
more.
Sorry, 300.
Here's to 300
we hope you do 7 more and then just cut it
and
off.
And then pod fade.
And then pod fade. Yeah.
So, all right.
Episode 307.
Die on the pod bean vine.
And wait, and how was, at what way, how did you find out about Hollywood Saloon? Was it on
I just searched movie podcast. Yes, it was. It was the podcast pickle.
Or is that how you
No, I did it through.
I thought it was podcast pickle.
I did it through iTunes.
The pickle stretches far.
So I prepared a poem for you guys that I'd like you to hear.
And
this is in honor of your 300th episode.
All right.
Forget about the good times. Forget about the fun. Forget about vacation. I should have brought my gun. Hotel hell. If you think the beer is rotten, you should see the clientele.
Oh my gosh.
Hotel hell.
Beautiful.
We love you guys.
Love you guys.
Hey, can you pull your legs back a little more?
Well, I never understood that all night.
Those lyrics to that song, I always thought it was, if you think the staff is rotten.
That's what I thought he said. I thought he said, if you think the stench is rotten.
Oh, okay.
You should
but
see the clientele.
He's right. It does sound like they're saying, if you think the beer is rotten, but that doesn't make sense. Beer skunks, not rot. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was, if you think the stench is rotten, you should see the clientele. But it
could that's be kind of, that's kind of insulting to the clientele. I mean, yeah, that's like really the people is. That they're hauling into the room to that's show the black light semen stains. They're saying that these people are
well, in
below
the background,
average.
You see a tiger. So if you think that's bad, look, there's a tiger in the room. Like the opening thing.
We're staying at a zoo.
I want to thank Adam and Ross so much for that. Honestly, I could listen to a podcast of that just like an hour long. I love hearing how people discovered the show and what they thought was funny and stuff. Because I got to be honest with you, and I'm not like pandering for feedback or anything. I'm telling you the honest truth. Sometimes I get really down in the dumps about the show, and this is why. I'll say we do a show like 300. Everything's awesome. You know, we record it and it's fun and put it out on Facebook. But then it's there's just this kind of like silence afterwards. And sometimes it's hard to take, honestly. I don't know what it is I'm expecting. Sometimes I have no expectations and I'm fine. But sometimes a certain week, I need something. I need to hear something because it really depresses me. And I get into a funk where I don't want to think about anything. I don't even want to do another show. I'm just like bummed out. And I can't even predict when it'll happen. It just happens. Maybe that's just depression, Bill. I don't know. But sometimes
it's a mixture.
Sometimes I'm fine and sometimes I'm not at all. I'm just like, I don't even know why I bother. I don't even want to do this anymore. I when Friday rolls around and then I get this voicemail and I listen to it and it's like my enthusiasm shoots up to 100% and I'm like, I'm ready to do another show. Woohoo! Like I'm good to go. And I just love you guys so much for sending that. And I got it at the right time to hear it where it just meant a lot to me. I don't know what I'm expecting on Facebook or whatever. Maybe just like
maybe a little more interaction.
Well, sometimes there is zero interaction most of the time. You will post the show and there's nothing there. You know, so I don't expect anything anymore. What I'm saying is sometimes I need something. Sometimes I do need it, you know. It's kind of funny. I don't know. I think it's like maybe I'm not even going to call myself a performer or anything like that or like a stand-up comedian. They get like instant laughs or whatever. Right. It's almost like I wish that like I had a way to hear what made people laugh and stuff. It would make me feel better. You know, like if I just got like, if I could hear.
Keep doing the drops, you know, you want, okay, the drops are funny.
It's almost like I just want to hear the audience. That's right. What it is. I want to hear the audience. Does that make any sense?
It makes total sense.
Like being on stage and I want to hear the audience. And, so it's great to hear from like, Adam and Ross and Adam Sexton or Rick or whoever else leaves a voicemail. Oh, and by the way, I never answered Adam's, he had a voicemail earlier, Bill, and he asked, it sounds like he listened to the best of, NIMH, but he hasn't listened to a lot of our old shows. He didn't understand the one part of the best of NIMH where Steven was like, saying lines. You were like fumbling over lines, and he said it was really funny, but he didn't know why you were saying it. And a long time ago, Mick McCart and Credo, Jim Lewis, did a podcast called Lost in Mulberry, where it was like a Lost parody with us in it. So Mick would send us a script and we'd do lines. And at one point, I did my lines and I go, Steven, you need
I'd
to do your
over
lines.
30 minutes early. And
yeah, and we'll send them to Mick. And I was in the other room, but anyway.
Oh, I had that Uwe Boll. Yeah.
Yeah. What did Uwe Boll do? Do you remember that? And so we did the show and you left, but whatever. I was like, oh, I got to send that stuff to Mick.
But you had to listen back to what
I said.
So
I started listening to it and I was in tears laughing at it. It was so funny. And just because you were like, what did, and I was like, oh my God, and it's Steven, he's like trapped like on the just a few words, you know? It was so funny though. What did Uwe Boll do? Do you remember that, Bill?
Yeah, and wasn't there, he was getting like something confused about bowling. Like he kept saying, did you bowl too or something?
Yeah, did you bowl? Did you? Yeah, you weren't even saying Uva. You were like, did you bowl?
Uva bowl.
Oh, God, it was so funny. But if you guys, you know what's funny is, I don't know why Laura texted me this morning and she goes, you know what you ought to do? Another best of show. And I went, what? I went, hell no, is what I texted her.
Yeah.
And she goes, why? And I said, because it takes forever. And she goes, when's the last time you did one? I said, 2011. She was like, see, just do it from that and beyond to present day. And I was like, oh, you mean like the 100 shows we've done since then?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's like, no, how about somebody else does it for us?
I'm trying to think, like, they were talking about, like, it just, Adam and Ross were talking about, like, wow, it seems like they were just at 200.
Right.
I honestly think the amount of time between 200 and 300 was a long time.
Right.
I'm going to say it took us 2 years to get here, maybe longer.
Yeah, we kept taking some long breaks.
Yeah. I think our from 1 to 100 was super fast, I'm going to say. Even from 1 to 200 was a lot faster than it was from 200 to 300. We took a long-ass time. But remember, I kept commenting that episode 270, 280, like, took, like, I don't know, 8 months or something. We were, like, stuck in the 270s forever. It seemed like. And then when we hit 290, we just were, like, show after show after show after show, and we finally got to 300. Boom.
And that's kind of about the time the Patreon, too.
Yeah, it had Patreon. Everything to do with the Patreon.
Yeah, it... You know, that
it reinvigorated.
It everything. Reinvigorated me. But like I said, that does boost my morale and stuff. But sometimes I just want to hear the audience's laughter. And that shouldn't be sad. And I'm not going to be
depressed.
It's not
sad. It's the nature of doing a show.
Yeah, I want to hear the laughter.
That we put out there. We see the downloads. We see that, you know, people are listening. There's just no... return, you know, every once in a while you feel like the dancing monkey.
And I think,
you know, we're the carnival barker, we're the organ grinder. And whenever you don't get people putting, the money in your hat or the, you know, giving you the attention that
Baby
you want,
that
it gets
monkey.
Depressing. But with the Patreon, now that we know that there are people listening, that there
awesome.
Are people giving us, putting money in the proverbial hat. It's been great. And every, you know, it's what last week we had two patrons join. This week it was silent, but you know, we're still
week,
there.
No, I announced that at the beginning of the show. We have a new patron, Robert Bihana from this.
Oh,
week.
Sweet.
It just kind of was like, bing, you know, and I was like, whoa, cool. We had a new patron. Awesome. So that's awesome.
And that is awesome.
Bill, I'm glad you could be on the show too, because I was bummed out, like, we can do the show, because I want to talk to you about all these shows and stuff.
Yeah, I was just sitting there watching my TV, waiting for it to come back, because I knew the moment the TV came back, the internet would be back up, and it happened, and I was like, okay, all systems are go, call!
Well, let's talk entertainment real quick. It'd be really short entertainment, we'll get right to the shows. So, let's do it! Entertainment! Now, Bill, Steven and I did see Sin City, A Dame to Kill For last week, and we could tell, like, you know, I just naturally get to the theater an hour early now. That's what
right.
I do. We could tell when the movie let out and no one came out of the theater. Like, dude, nobody came out of there.
I was running late, and Jason's like, I'm only one in line.
Yeah, and the guys went in there, like, to clean it, I guess, and the guy was like, y'all can go in there. So we go in there, and it's just like...
Crickets, tumbleweeds.
Tumbleweeds.
Yeah, I was like, why are there tumbleweeds in a movie theater?
When did they put up these swinging doors?
Why is there an owl in here? But it was like, you could tell. Yeah, the writing was on the wall that, dude, I don't think this movie is doing very good. Because I'm going to say some people came in there. I'm going to say there was about 10 people in the XD theater.
Yeah, probably. Maybe.
And in a 300-seat theater, that doesn't look like very many people. But there was a dude, Bill. The theater, okay, 10 people, 300 seats. There was a guy down at the bottom in that lower section. I was like, why?
That would be me. Because I like to be close to... My whole philosophy with going to see a movie in a large theater is I want to be as close to the screen as it fills my, you know, my periphery. Like,
but... I'm not even talking on the front row of the stadium seating. I'm talking about that lower bowl.
Oh shit, he's insane.
Yeah. Where it's just
beyond filling your.
Yeah, you sit there when the rest of the theater is filled up and you have no choice. You have to sit down there. But he's like, the only thing I can think is someone who has really bad vision and they don't have glasses.
Awful knees. Maybe he couldn't go up the stairs.
Yeah. You know what's funny is when I got home, I was thinking about Sin City a lot. And I remember.
It's one of those movies that makes you think.
Well, I really liked the first one. And maybe I was excited about it because, you know, I don't even think I had recently read Sin City. I think
this is not going well.
But it was fresher. It was more fresh in my mind. Like when I was watching Sin City: A Dame to Kill For, I was like, "Yeah, I think I remember this." It's like been a long time. But I went back and watched a scene with Clive Owen, and remember he did that chapter in there. I think it was the Big Fat Kill. And it was with him and Benicio Del Toro's, right, like the bad guy. And the scene was making me laugh. And there's a part he sits on like a throwing star and it gets stuck in his ass. And Clive Owen goes, yeesh, like that. And it was funny. But I started thinking, maybe that's the problem with the new one.
Missing.
It was a very serious tone. There wasn't any humor, was there?
No.
Can you think of any moments that was the only times that were funny was when Miho is shooting arrows in dudes' heads.
Right, yeah.
Because their faces would go like, oh! You know, it just like freeze. Like a dude was lighting another guy's cigarette. She shot an arrow in two heads at once or whatever.
Yeah. And Marv running up the stairs. There was some humor when he crushes the guy's skull.
Yeah, it's violent humor with the way people are dying. But there wasn't any dialogue type humor, really. And I was thinking maybe it's less fun in a way. The first movie is very grim and violent too, Bill, right? Remember how creepy Elijah Wood is in that?
Oh, super creepy. And then who was the guy that played the what was the character with the yellow head?
Oh yeah, that was the one kid who went all crazy.
Was that Nick Stahl?
Nick Stahl. He was that yellow bastard.
Sorry.
There was a part that made us laugh because he's long dead in the movie, but Powers Booth has a portrait of his son, like on the wall.
He's
that yellow face and he's got a mean look on his face. He's got this angry scowl on his face, but that's like a portrait in Powers Booth office. And it's so funny. I laughed. And then later on, he looks in like a smaller picture.
One on his desk.
Yeah. Of the same like ugly picture of his son. It cracked me up, but I was like, it was like I was enjoying it. And dude, the 3D is awesome, Bill. It does look gorgeous in black and white. There's something about black and white 3D. It just looks really cool. But
the story was a little disjointed.
It was something. Yeah. Remember how before there was like this story within a story, and they had the Josh Hartnett character at the beginning, like bookending the film.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything like that in this
one. Was just that straight film noir homage that the book was.
Yeah, but they mixed in different stories. Like there's the story
because some of it happened before
Josh
Sin City.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing, Bill. Some of the storylines happened before the first movie, and some of them happened after. So it gets really confusing. For instance, Josh Brolin plays the same character Clive Owen did in the first film. Did you realize that?
There's a part
in this movie where Josh Brolin, you know, if you see in the trailers, he's got a buzz cut. He's got barely any hair. Later on in the movie, he's got like the same hairstyle as Clive Owen from the first movie.
Right.
And you realize he's had reconstructive surgery to look like Clive Owen. And so that first story from the first movie happened after this one, and it started making my head hurt because I was trying to think of why does he look like Clive Owen now? It's so
you describing it makes my head hurt.
It did. There's Joseph Gordon-Levitt is really good in the movie, but
his story is pointless.
The story leads up to nothing, Bill, and I was just like, what was the point of that? There's no point to it. I didn't understand what was going on with that. So it was really disappointing. I honestly didn't think. Do you realize it made like $6 million?
Youch!
Like last week.
No, I didn't know.
That's like nothing.
Yeah.
That's like 10 people in XD theaters across the country, you know?
Yeah, I noticed that they put Guardians of the Galaxy back in the big theaters. Yeah,
if I ran that theater, it was like, dude, get Sin City out of our big theater. Put some, what's selling tickets
what
right now?
Yeah.
What irritates me is I want to go see Ghostbusters in the XD, but they only put it in the XD two showings at night.
Oh, really?
Like 7:30 and 10:30.
It's showing all day at the one at our
I think that's awesome. I hope that it does huge business because it deserves it. That was the first, well, that's the first movie I truly remember seeing in the theaters. I know I saw like Jungle Book and stuff like that. E.T. as a young kid, but the first movie that actually scared the living shit out of me to the point where it burnt itself into my gray matter was Ghostbusters, so I'm really looking forward to going to see it.
Ghostbusters scared you?
Oh, dude, I was like 5, 6 years old.
I know.
And you know, even just the opening scene with the ghost in the library, and they're down right there, and it does goes, that thing where it
you're right.
Goes, I was like, holy... Goes, I think I pissed myself.
You're right. No one could stack books like this.
All right, that's bad.
No, I understand. That's right there. I realize sometimes our age difference. Sometimes I forget about it, but you just reminded me of it.
Yeah, I was born in 79, so yeah,
yes,
I'm the young punk.
This man has no dick.
You Ghostbusters is a great movie. You know what? I almost Bill, I want to do a NIMH movie mini of Ghostbusters 2. Recently, Heather was watching it. I sat at the computer. I kept turning around and watching it. And I realized, I got to be honest with you guys, I hate Ghostbusters 2.
It's terrible.
I think it sucks ass.
It is
really,
terrible.
Really sucks ass. It's horrible. It's such a bad movie.
The
climax
villain
of the film
sucks.
Is so bad. Oh, God, it's so bad. You have the stupid guy from Ally McBeal in there.
Oh, and that horrible accent he does. And there's the scene
so
where he
bad.
Goes to kidnap Oscar, and he's like the witch on the bicycle.
Yeah, yeah.
Wizard of Oz.
Hey, guys, it's really bad. And I know some people, nostalgic factor, may think it's good. It's awful! Ghostbusters 2 is awful.
Too hot to handle, too cold to hold. The Ghostbusters in the end.
Yeah. Oh, and all of a sudden Bobby Brown's like, hey, can you get a proton pack for one of my nephews? And he goes, sir, this is very dangerous equipment. And it's like, oh, cool. And it's during the Bobby Brown song in the movie that Bobby Brown is on screen.
Take control. Gotta take control.
Yeah, and oh man,
that song sucks compared to Ray Parker Jr.'s song.
So that was
totally.
Sorry.
Pandering.
Yes, that was the pandering movie. Remember they have a Nintendo controller operating the Statue of Liberty at the end, so you had the Nintendo tie in there, Bill.
Yeah, and they can't even use the original version of Higher and Higher. They use some guy that sounds like Jackie Wilson.
Well, there's a part where the Higher and Higher makes it all positive, the goop, and it's not even the actual recording. But Cheech Marin is in the movie, and then they use his footage twice.
Yeah,
that
they
isn't
do.
Two different takes. One point he's going like, oh, because a ghost ship arrives, and later on when the Statue of Liberty's in the ocean, they show the same footage of him going, oh, like
well,
that.
He was just in the same spot.
I was
never
just
moves.
Like, that was obviously the same take, and you should. I can expect that in a Roger Corman film, not right. in a freaking big blockbuster movie, summertime blockbuster. It's just lazy. Am I right?
They all Very. Felt like, particularly Bill Murray felt like, why am I doing this? Like, I think that's why he never agreed to do Ghostbusters 3, because it just, Ghostbusters 2 was such a misfire.
It really was a, let's get another movie out there and make
yeah,
some money.
Right.
Some cash money.
The greatest, I mean, the true Ghostbusters story is the video game that came out a couple years ago, where it actually gets into the history of Evo Shandor.
Right. I remember you telling me about that.
It's really
cool.
good. It's a fun game, and while I was playing it, I kept having dreams of better stories.
Right.
That Ghostbusters could be.
I blame
like,
myself.
I was actually one of these Ghostbusters. It was a haunted hotel, and I remember, like, as we were walking through the hallway, like it dropped away and then there was this like crazy steel structure inside. I was like having all, it fired off the Ghostbuster synapse in my brain.
Right. It's
like,
I
love that whole idea of comedy and supernatural terror.
Me too. I love the first film and they've got their old firehouse and everything. It's cool. And the Ecto car and all that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's a property that was never utilized properly.
The real Ghostbusters cartoon I always thought was awesome.
Real Ghostbusters cartoon, the majority of them written by, what the hell is his name? It's going to drive me crazy. Is it
J. Michael Straczynski.
Yes, J. Michael Straczynski. He did the original, like, basically the original run of it.
Right.
And those episodes are, like, really, really dark. I bought the set from Time Life that's the firehouse.
You showed me that.
I was watching them, and I'm like, holy shit, how did they get away with this on Saturday morning television?
I remember showing that to Emma, and she started watching them on YouTube. Like, just
some of them are really scary.
Yeah, they're really cool. They don't pander to children at all. Like Ghostbusters 2 did.
I the kid that wrote Chronicle, Landis.
Mm-hmm.
Had a wonderful treatment for Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah, that,
like,
I remember
that. It started out with a kind of a slovenly guy in a room with Ivo Shandor, and Shandor eventually kills him, and then it flashes forward to that guy is actually now Slimer. Like, there was,
right,
like, a whole connection to it.
Yeah, the origin of Slimer. That was cool. Yeah. I remember reading that.
And it got into the Ivo Shandor stuff. And that I always found to be the most interesting part of it. You know, they set up this great backstory and then just kind of toss it aside with the Zool stuff. And I love that the game got into that. So there's plenty of material there, especially with how bug nuts Dan Aykroyd is. I mean, he's into that whole... other dimension stuff.
He's all into paranormal and conspiracy and stuff like that.
Yeah, he did an episode of Coast to Coast AM a number of years ago where he just talked about seances and, I mean, it was really, really like, wow, this guy is nutty, but I'm loving this.
You know, I honestly, once Harold Ramis died, any interest in a Ghostbusters movie really just fell away.
Kind of
waned. I didn't care anymore. Because it really bums me out. And I heard recently, like, hey, what if we got Paul Feig to do a remake or a new movie with a women cast or something, like Sandra Bullock or something like that? And I was like, nah, not so much. Not because I'm sexist or anything, just because based on the way the Heat looked and the color palette was so faded and drab.
He's a
great writer. I loved Freaks and Geeks and all that. In fact, The Heat is a funny movie. It made me laugh. It just looks horrible. It looks ugly and muddy.
It suffers from the American comedy film syndrome, where there's no creative energy in it.
I'm going to go ahead and say, give someone, I know this is funny, you can't just say the same person every time, but seriously, make Edgar Wright and Nick Frost and Simon Pegg and somebody else do
Joe,
new Ghostbusters.
Joe Cornish. Edgar Wright and Joe Cornish on it. Hell, Edgar Wright could produce it. Have Joe Cornish direct it. I mean, Attack the Block was fantastic.
Right. Do something like that where just a fresh voice in it or whatever. Because I want it to also look awesome and be funny. You know what I mean?
But again, to get into the minutia more, it's a Sony property, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you're dealing with a company that is so obsessed with synergy. Just look at the Amazing Spider-Man films.
Right.
We would be, you know, they are going to go as safe as possible to make the biggest amount of money.
Plus,
and
if they launched
there's
it, they'd want it.
It's going to be littered with, you know, product placement.
They would want an instant franchise too. They wouldn't just want to make one of them.
It's not about creating a property or using an intellectual property that people love. It's more about exploiting the property that people love for profit.
Well, let me ask you this about this Ghostbusters re-release in theaters. What have they done to it? Is it a 4K treatment?
Yes, it is a 4K. They went back and totally remastered it. I pray they didn't scrub the shit out of it so that, like, some of the grain... Because if you look at it, it was not shot on a good film stock. It is an incredibly grainy film. It's not pretty.
Well, some people like that film grain, you know.
Well,
like
yeah, but I'm saying if they scrub it too much,
yeah, they get
it's. It
doesn't
it
look
looks
like it's
really
film
bad.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like over processed.
Yeah.
Hopefully they won't do that.
But I'm gonna go check it out tomorrow. I have to go into Columbus tomorrow. I'm gonna make a day of it. I get to go see. I was supposed to see 2001: A Space Odyssey last night in 70mm. That was canceled. Like you said, I think somebody stole the film. But they posted tonight that all systems are go. They already had it on the reels and everything. So they're showing tonight and tomorrow. I switched my tickets over tomorrow. So I think I'm going to try to see Ghostbusters in the afternoon and then head down to the Wexner Center for the Arts and see 2001 A Space Odyssey at 7:00 tomorrow.
Holy shit, that's a full day, isn't it?
It is a full day, but you know what? I deserve it because I've been busting my ass since I started back at school.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I haven't really had a good day to myself.
Whoa, that's good squishy.
Thanks,
yeah.
Bart.
Yeah, it is. So what do you guys say we check out what's on our TiVo?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. What's on our TiVo? Guys, I just want to tell you, I watched several episodes of Pawn Stars.
Oh, yeah?
For Ken. I decided to check it out. I found the newest episode I could. Gotcha. I don't think there was a new one this week, or at least I'm not sure, but I watched quite a few. And the one I decided to make a clip from was one where this guy brings in an old Rumpelstiltskin book. Have you seen that one? He thinks it's like, you know, most of the time people think it's
real rare.
Yeah, they're rare. And then he brings in a lady who says, well, actually, no, this isn't a first printing. It's worth like probably $500 in good condition. So he's like, I'll give you $100 for it or something.
Yeah,
like that.
That's the way they do it. That's the general Pawn Stars lowballing.
So, but what I was entertained by was behind the scenes, the stuff with the old man and the, I guess, what's the main guy's name? The dad? What's his name?
Rick Harrison.
Rick, he's like, hey, I thought maybe, what if we take him shuffleboarding? And he's like, what? Shuffleboarding? And he's like, yeah, I think we need to get him out there moving, you know, some kind of like exercise or whatever. And he's like, I don't think this is a good idea. So it's like, no, let's, come on, we all gotta go. Like that one guy, Chumley, he's like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So they go and they shuffleboard. Have you guys
bring
seen
me some
one?
Weed, I'll do it.
So I was entertained by this and I made a clip, so let's check them out. This is them, they're gonna go shuffleboard.
They're really bad actors, by the way.
Yeah, what the funniest part, after they go shuffleboarding, the grandpa had a good time, and he's like, all right, well, yeah, well, okay, we've got it reserved. And he's like, hey, what are you talking about? And he goes, oh, yeah, we're going to go shuffleboarding again. And he goes, no, I think I'm going to be busy. So it's like, you know, they're doing their acting, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, anytime they do those backstories, it's scripted just so that they can inject some character into it. It's obvious.
Right. And that's the part I enjoyed.
I got an idea. What's that? I'm thinking shuffleboard. Banana farms. Tacos. I'm just saying random stuff here. I think the old man might like playing shuffleboard. Why? I just wanted to get to do something, man. That's all I want to do. I just want to get him more active. You know, sitting around doing nothing is bad.
Shuffleboard? I
wanted to go take him to play shuffleboard. Old people play shuffleboard, right?
Corey, shuffleboard is actually very fun.
So you guys are good to do this?
Count me in.
I'll go play shuffleboard.
This never works out.
Will you humor me? I'll go, but it's under protest and it's just a watch you fail at it.
Okay, so shuffleboard it is tomorrow night after work.
All right.
It's an Olympic sport, Corey.
Why do I keep you around?
The old man sleeping.
You know, are we still doing the shuffleboard thing?
Shuffleboard.
You didn't even tell him about it yet?
No, I just figured I'd plan it first, make sure you guys were going. No, we're all going to go down and play shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard's for old people.
So it'd be perfect for you.
I'm not old, son.
You know, it's not strenuous. You're not going to have a heart attack. It gets you out. You do something.
I've never played shuffleboard, Rick. What's the rule?
I don't know. You just
bring Slim Whitman in.
It's not a puck, but okay.
All right, I got the rules right here. It says here you got to use the tang to push the biscuit through the lane. How does a biscuit slide across the entire lane? It's slippery. I must be using some kind of butter.
Jesus Christ.
No, we got to pick teams.
Is that a smoker's
lap? I'll take the old man. Yeah. Rick said he's doing me a favor. I'll do him a favor and kick him in the ass.
Do you know how to play this?
I can learn, son. I played shuffleboard before. I'm not letting these guys know.
Are they sure the old man isn't dead already?
Why are you so good at this?
I'm good at everything, boy.
Pops, I guess it's true. Old people are just naturally good at shuffleboard.
Thanks for the exercise, son. You suck.
Look, there's an opening right there. Put all four of us down.
Oh, yeah.
What are you guys doing?
I just signed us up for Wednesday night.
Wednesday night for what?
We're going to play shuffleboard again.
Same teams.
I think I'm busy.
No, you ain't busy. You're going to be there.
Dad, you know, I mean, I got a lot of kids and everything, and I'd like to hang out with you, but, you know, and just think, you might pull a muscle or something.
Bull. I beat your ass the other day. I'm going to do it again.
I tried to do something nice and have my dad be more active for his health. One game, and I have created a shuffleboard monster.
You guys are going to be there Wednesday night. That is final.
Okay, no, I mean, we can do it every once in a while, but we're not going to do it, like, a couple nights a week.
You're going to be there, damn it.
What was that bell? Ding, ding.
They need to calm down with the sound effects there. I think they're trying to get every possible scent out of that public domain music that they're renting.
So it reminded me a lot of like Cake Boss or...
That's exactly what it is.
Where they have their jobs, but also they create shenanigans for them to do besides their jobs. And I did see one where I thought it was pretty cool. This guy brought in it was a cane. That was also a
rifle.
Gun. Yeah, like a, I don't know if it fired like a shotgun shell or whatever, but I thought it was pretty awesome. I was like, dude, I want one of those. How cool would it be? You had a cane that goes.
Neat stuff. It is fun to watch that.
When they bring in something cool or rare. Yeah,
it's fun, mindless entertainment.
Yeah, it was entertaining. And
I catch myself watching American Pickers. Where the guys just climb around in dirty barns for an hour.
What? And,
yeah, I mean, that's what they do. They go to all these different, like, rundown areas in the country and
they
dig
like
through.
Old
they
Coke
look for,
signs.
Oh, yeah, they try to find something valuable, like an old antiques or something.
Yeah, or sometimes it's cars or
motorcycles.
Cool. Yeah, it's...
Okay. Well, Ken, I'm getting warmed up to Pawn Stars and I'm going to watch some more. I recorded some more, episodes. I think, you know, the more recent ones that I could find.
Yeah.
The ones from 2014.
I'll put it on Discovery Channel, I think it's on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. History Channel.
History Channel. History.
I've been
oh, that's why I didn't get to see it this week. The hotel didn't have history.
Do they show them on Discovery and History? Like,
they
watched
showing-
it.
Discovery, they're tied together, so
there
they
was
show
2 days this week where it was on all day long, and I just left it on and was watching it.
You know how I see the Pawn Stars almost every night on MeTV? That Rick Harrison advertises one of those safety razors.
Yeah.
He's like, this is the best safety razor. This is the only razor you need. The best, closest shave. Sorry. It's like that. Yeah, it's he's getting his money.
Well, Bill, did you watch Restaurant Startup this week?
I did. The ingredient episode.
The wait, what was it? I'm trying to remember the name of the company. It was had to do
Bon Jovi?
Yeah, that's it. Bon Jovi. All I could think was Bon Jovi, but Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
They were an anchovy, they wanted to open an anchovy restaurant where it's like fried anchovies and all sorts of stuff. See, I haven't really eaten anchovies like that. The only anchovies I've ever been around.
Canned, salted, and soaked in olive oil.
Right. Or like the cut up strips of it that is on pizza or something.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what they use.
But I've never seen like the, like they had big fish with like on a stick fried and stuff.
Well, those were sardines.
Yeah.
The anchovies are smaller. They, coat them and fry them like a, like mini fish sticks, really.
Oh, yeah. I'm confusing anchovies with sardines. I'm sorry. But they had both, right?
Yes, they did.
And the only ways that was the ways I've experienced those fish. So it'd be interesting to see them prepared another way where it's more appetizing.
Right.
You know? I remember
they're both delicious. I mean, if you like fish, you know, if you like catfish, that catfish I got at the restaurant we went to.
I love catfish.
It's very sweet. It can be a little overwhelmingly fishy, but it all depends on the water it comes from.
Right. I remember, like, Laura, she loved the cans of sardines and would eat them like that. And I thought it was so gross. And it's funny the way she eats now, like, very healthy and stuff. I need to bring that up to her. What about when you used to eat cans of sardines? You remember how gross that was?
Well, I'll actually eat what they call brizzling sardines, incredibly high protein content. They're a little fishy straight out of the can. I dare anyone to try to eat just a can of brizzling sardines. But, if you, you know, you play with them, chop them up, put some parsley in there, a little bit of onion, maybe some lemon, a little bit of olive oil. They're good. It's a really good low fat, high protein meal.
Well, what's funny on this episode of Restaurant Startup is it looks like a married couple at first. Until they tell Joe and Tim Love that actually we're divorced. We're no longer together, but
we hate each other.
We're in business together. And then halfway through the episode, that lady talks to him and they're like, what percentage of the business do you guys own since you're not married? And she said, 90%. He has 10%. She's like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, I don't cook the food or anything. I'm just kind of like helping her and stuff. And she's like, oh. And so then when they tell Joe and Tim Love this, they're like, wait, what now? Because they're like, they're kind of
so
freaking out.
So he has no say.
And it's so, this is the first time I've seen them also say, we're both going in on this together, Joe and I, and we're going to go in business with you, and you get 40%. And it's so funny when the lady goes, wait, would you be willing to? And her ex-husband is like, no, 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 no. This is the kind of dude you just take and you don't like bargain with them or haggle over anything. You just say yes to. And I thought that was pretty funny. So I made a clip here, Bill. So let's check it out. What do you say?
I think that you guys have a genuine food idea. And I think that the evolution of Bon Jovi since I met you to now is very, very positive.
The cons are, for me, it's a fairly large ask for what percentage you're willing to give up. You got $300,000. You're willing to give us 30% of the company, right? You know, you guys scream of inexperience. You're asking for a lot with a small place.
Do you guys have any money of your own?
Yeah.
How much would you be willing to put in?
I'd be willing to put $20,000 in.
Okay, that's something.
So the other con I have is just trying to figure out y'all's relationship. You don't feel like your relationship one way or the other is going to affect this business.
No.
We harp on it a little bit because it's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I got to say, that's probably a great moment to discuss our ownership percentages. I don't know if you guys know this, but we're not half and half on this business.
We changed the ownership when we got the divorce.
It's 90-10. Your ownership percentage is going to be coming out of Renee's majority stake.
Oh, so you're firm at 10. You don't get diluted.
I'm firm at 10.
So you got nothing to lose. She's giving away the ownership today.
You got it.
Oh, so you're just in this as a sidekick.
Well, I don't see it that way, honestly.
Here's my problem. What you brought me was an idea that was born of two people in a relationship, in a marriage, who supported each other. And now you're presenting me with a different scenario in the aftermath of this relationship. One partner leaves, gets a 10% royalty because he was there for birthing, and he goes off in the sunset. Well, I don't know if this is the deal that I want to invest in.
I have to stand up for myself a little bit. I've done all of the menu creation.
I'm not downing your compassion. I like it. I want to be able to control all the variables. Yeah. What commitment are you willing to give me to work in this restaurant?
I'll give you two nights.
2 p.m.
I'll give
shifts.
You 3 nights.
3 p.m. dining room shifts.
You're not going, you can't do that and keep your job. You know that.
Let's be realistic. Yeah. Why don't we make it 2?
Okay.
For me, I've kind of beat myself up on many different ways on how I can not invest in you, but I just think you guys really can do something, and I like the idea. So the deal that we're going to do is going to be Joe and I together. So you got to make sure you're okay
with that.
Right
there, I would have gone awesome.
You're going to put in $20,000, and we don't want you to put in even $2,000 just to represent your 10%. We'll put up the balance, $278,000. We need you committed to this until all the money's paid back.
We're going to have the first money out, which means we own the 100% equity until we're paid.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Once we're paid, we go to 50% equity, split between the two of us, 25 and 25. That means you're going to be at 40% and you're at 10%.
Mm-hmm. Can we agree on that? Mm-hmm.
Would you guys consider 40%?
Our deal is solid.
Seriously, this is the chance of a lifetime. This is not the kind of thing that you want to question. Yes, yes, yes. Tell the men yes.
I think that I would be crazy to say no. So.
Do we have a deal?
So you're in or you're out?
I'm in.
All right. Isn't it funny how they always get hung up on their percentage, Bill? When, I wanted to own it like more than 50% because it's my business. They don't see, look at the big picture that you have.
Yeah,
like
that's
Tim Love and Joe Bastianich helping you do your business, and eventually you buy them out.
Well, yeah, they always give the option of buying them out.
Right. And so but sometimes people get too hung up on that. It's like, no, that's down the line you're going to own this business. But if you launch it with these guys and you're successful, because a lot of times first time restaurants are not successful. But if you have them helping you out, it would really help. And
absolutely.
It seems like they only invest in things they think are sure things. We've seen there are 2 episodes in a row where they didn't make deals, where they're like, yeah, and we're out.
Percentages.
Yeah. The last week, I can't even remember what it was. It was like these guys made, what was that? It was a gay couple. Did you see that, Bill?
No.
Crap, I can't remember what they made, but they really liked their food, and then when they made the
sweet, sweet love.
Well, after they made the restaurant and everything, and then they sat down and talked to him, and he's like, I think you really need to improve this product. And the guy said, well, I think it's pretty good the way it is. And he goes, well, that means you're as immature as I thought you were. I'm out. That's what Joe said. And Tim Loeb goes, I'm out too. Sorry, guys. And they're just like, oh, shit, what do we do?
Well, their ego tends to get the better of them. Like, they start to believe their own bullshit, honestly. Right. If you have two guys that have been in this industry for, combined probably 40 years.
Yeah, they think that their product is good enough right now, and they're telling them it's not. You got to work on it.
Yeah, if you're willing to work, I think that they could become something. And I think the Bon Jovi was a great idea. Kind of like I love the atmosphere. I love the idea of kind of, like a gastro pub, but it's all fish.
Right.
And it's a lean protein that a lot of people are into right now.
And, Scott Ian from Anthrax showed up.
Yeah, I saw that. He still has that chin beard.
He has that chin beard. It's all gray now.
Yeah.
So, he's got a bald head. If he grew his hair, would he be all gray?
Yeah.
That's a little depressing.
He's going to be in his early 50s.
Wow.
I feel old.
That laugh hurts me when I hear it. All right, guys, did you guys check out MasterChef?
I didn't. I wasn't able to.
This is one of those episodes where they make them team up again. Like,
right, yeah.
You're going to do relays where one person cooks, the other person trades, and we're going to see how good you work as a team. And my whole my whole thing as I'm watching this is, why do they need to work good as a team? There's only one winner of MasterChef. What does it matter? They're not running a brigade at a restaurant or anything.
What if it's who's the best training them to do that?
Home cook. Am I right?
Yeah.
So, of course, the first thing they made had to do with apples, and Courtney, she was the best, and she got to go up on the stairs, and she's like, oh, I'm used to being up here. And it's like, why do you need to say shit like that where it makes us hate you? But she got to pick the teams, and she thought, like, the worst
dumplings.
You know, she can't stand Leslie, and she put Leslie with the girl from
the pie girl.
Bob's Burgers. What's her name, Bill?
Is it Jamie or Janie?
But what was the character's name on Bob's Burger?
Tina Belcher.
So they were together, and all they were doing is yelling at each other the whole time. She's like, "You're not listening to me." He goes, "I got this." And they were like, "Guys, you're not working well together. Look at the way Cutter and Elizabeth are working, and they're working great as a team." And Christian was yelling at poor Big Willie, and Big Willie's like, "I'm not used to being
yelled at." I'm shocked Big Willie's still there.
This was actually his last episode.
Okay, all right. I think Big Willie overstayed his welcome.
Right. I believe he's probably a really good home cook and stuff.
He's a soul food guy.
He cooks what he wants to cook.
This is what they made him team up on. They had to make pot stickers, dumplings, some kind of other Asian thing that had, like, pulled meat in it.
Pot stickers are a bitch.
Yeah, like, they also had cabbage rolls and stuff.
They're delicious, though.
Even I wouldn't attempt pot stickers.
Well, they didn't they didn't get to pick one. They had to make all of them in a big platter.
They had to
platter.
Make five different styles.
And so, this is what happened, basically, Bill.
Jamie and Leslie, let's go.
Jamie, that's her name.
This is going to be so hard to watch because everything that happened with Leslie and Jamie over the past 60 minutes was a disaster.
I saw and witnessed pandemonium. Visually, they look good.
The disaster of pandemonium?
They look very good. Despite the animosity, I am freaking amazed. Short ribs, really delicious. And the hot stickers, taste quite nice.
Most amazing
the tray could have been a near perfect tray had you two focused on each other.
How long did you steam the cabbage rolls?
I want to say a good 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You think they're cooked all the way through?
I would like to think so.
Good job on the cabbage.
Thank you.
I was expecting, with the kind of discord that you guys had between you, to have dim sum that was more reflective of that animosity. Instead, they seem to be very harmonious in their aesthetic. The flavor's good. I'm pleasantly surprised.
Despite our roller coaster of differences, we wound up pulling it together in the end. So now at this point, I'm just hoping that Cutter's, you know, with his big Texas hands, and Willie with those little chubby fingers of his, you know,
Jesus.
Can't roll dumplings. Please, Christian.
Willie, you've got finesse. I've seen you make beautiful, tiny little things. You coaching, kind of like a cheerleader. I was getting inspired by watching you run. And then this is what we get. I just expected there to be more finesse and touch, I guess, with these. What do you see?
I burnt one of my pot stickers.
The dough on the hard out, too thick. Steaming is a slow process. It's a moist cooking method. And it appears much easier than it actually is. I mean, the temp that you cook these, they become like rubber balls. Look at that. You guys are better than that.
It's a ball.
So sad.
Willie, flavor profile, nowhere to be seen.
A little bit of hair on this.
Are you serious about winning this competition?
I am serious. I think I performed tremendously as far as the rolls, the tightness, having big fingers and getting the stuff done.
Even he's commenting.
Based on this performance, you both don't deserve to be in this competition. Elizabeth and Cutter.
This is without question the worst thing I've brought to the judges in the MasterChef kitchen, and I'm feeling terrible, and I'm dreading him opening the boxes.
By the way, Elizabeth's going to win MasterChef. Do you guys all agree that?
Those buns?
Yeah.
That looks like a basket full of canned dog food. It doesn't look appetizing. Everything's oversized, clumsy, and just badly thought out. And even the pot stickers. Well, there's hardly any filling in there. It's all greasy. Who filled them?
I started filling them and she closed them up.
Lack of seasoning? Nothing in there.
I am so confused because how can a pairing that was great with the communication produce something so bad?
I have no idea. I didn't realize it was that bad.
Dumb. I just think it was a dumb thing.
This, quite frankly, is very disappointing. I mean, look at this. Courtney put you here to sink Elizabeth. You could sink her with the size of these cabbage rolls. I don't even want to eat this. Who did this meat like this?
I cooked it, she cut it.
Well, if you cooked it right, she wouldn't need to cut it because you could spoon it apart.
I don't know what went wrong. I really don't.
It's very rare when we see a direct
strike
and one of these advantages hit so hard, Elizabeth. You are in a very, very vulnerable position right now.
Yeah, well, I was like, if Elizabeth gets eliminated because of this, it's stupid. Because we want to see how you work as a team. Why? I just don't get it. They're individual cooks. And I'm so sick of the whole, like, you don't have to cook. Why? Courtney, you know, she does that first meal so well that she hasn't had to, she's never been in danger, has she?
I don't believe so.
Not often. But they make it like, remember last season, there was that one bitchy girl. Remember, and Luca at the end. And I was like, oh, I don't want that bitchy girl to win because she's so tacky and rude to everybody.
Right.
But, of course, she didn't win. I think the same thing is going to happen to Courtney, you know? Like, they would show her when they showed, like, Elizabeth, like, you're in big trouble, Elizabeth. They showed Courtney. She's like, So, anyway, whatever. Did you guys watch Hotel Hell? Let's talk about Hotel Hell, then we're going to take a break. Is that okay with you guys?
Yeah.
Did you guys get to see the wonderful Four Seasons that Gordon went to?
No, the Four Seasons Inn. It's not part of the Four Seasons.
I think the whole show begins with Gordon like, I love the Four Seasons. I've stayed at it all over the world. It's this wonderful place. And then when he gets there, he's like, what kind of Four Seasons is this?
Yes, I'm doing a show called Hotel Hell, and the Four Seasons called me.
First of all, how did this guy have so many employees that don't get paid?
Right.
It's because he did. Basically, he was letting them all live there free. Is that what it was?
I don't know.
That just still makes no sense to me. I mean, basically, they're homeless.
Don't they need money to? It's like, are you running some kind of commune or something? It's like,
a commune of incompetence.
Well, right. I guess if you live there, you don't need a car, so you don't need money for gas.
Yeah, that one lady, she's like, I'm a hula hoop instructor. It's like, what?
I wonder if their meals are included in that.
Yeah, there was one part where he was like, come here, I'm pissed. And I would just be like, you have no right to be pissed at me. I don't get paid, bitch. Yeah. And the guy was so beyond weird, you know, just
very weird. And I couldn't stop looking at his upper teeth.
Well, did you notice, like, one of his legs was, like, bent, too?
I didn't notice that. I did notice his yellow teeth.
His left leg, when Gordon first sees him, it looks like it's at a weird angle, and he limps.
Oh, so he's bow-legged.
I guess. It's very weird. He kind of reminded me of Dr. House from the show House. What's that actor's name?
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah. Shit.
He kind of reminded me of
Hugh Laurie.
Yeah,
Hugh
he reminded Laurie. Me of Hugh Laurie. So Gordon, this is what happened when Gordon arrives. And then he has them all do a meeting where they talk to him. And of course, when people begin to air their opinions, it's never good. So let's check it out.
This is exciting. I'm back in Vermont, heading towards the Four Seasons Inn. Trust me, I've stayed in a lot of crappy hotels. And I'm finally getting to stay in something sumptuous and amazing, the Four Seasons Inn. I've stayed at Four Seasons all over the world. They're fabulous hotels that define luxury, so this week should be a dream.
Hello?
Oh, gosh. Well, it certainly doesn't look like a Four Seasons to me.
There's like a dog bed right there.
Hello? I was hoping for a dream, but this place looks like another nightmare.
How are you, Gordon?
My first name is?
It's Gordon.
I know what my name is. Thank you.
My name is Sandy.
Reception's calling sick?
No, she is around. I will take care of that for you.
Okay, I never caught that.
Happy to check in.
What do you do?
I'm the massage therapist here, and I do hula hoop instructing and also the...
Just say that again?
The hula hoop instructing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And obviously, a huge demand of Vermont for hula hoop dancers, right?
Not at all here in Vermont, but I don't know, I kind of picked it up and I liked it, so...
You got another room for me?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. Hula hoop instructor. Wow. I mean, that's a first. I have to be honest, I mean, I've been very fortunate enough to stay in lots of Four Seasons, but I haven't seen one quite like this. How long have you been affiliated?
We're not affiliated. We're the Four Seasons Inn.
Oh. So you're not a Four Seasons?
We're the Four Seasons Inn.
But you're not a Four Seasons?
No affiliation.
Can you get away with that, legally?
Yep. They call themselves the Four Seasons. We're the Four Seasons Inn.
Incredible.
What are you not understanding?
And next month is going to be the Waldorf Astoria Lodge.
No.
Well, I'm going to unpack.
Thank you, sir.
Dear, oh dear.
Four Seasons, yeah. More like Four Shades. Wow. Who in this room actually gets paid?
Like, nobody raised their hand.
That's why there's no standards, because nobody's getting paid, so there's no responsibilities.
So that's why there's
If you pay
employees.
Peanuts, you get monkeys. If you pay nothing, you get all. Zero.
Well, paying peanuts.
It's not a business. It's a joke. Talk to me, Sandy.
Honestly, Gordon, we started off with all the good intentions, and we've had every bump in the road. Because when we started out wonderfully.
Stop it! It's an embarrassment. Stop
oh
the lies.
There's no lies. Right?
You were not booming when you first opened.
Air it out. Go ahead.
Nobody believes it, Sandy.
Where's your marketing?
There's nothing to market.
So what have you done?
For God's sakes, man. Please.
I'm going to pick this up in the morning. Night.
I love that guy.
Night, Chuck.
For God's sake.
I wish I could say goodnight.
Well, you know what's funny is he goes, well, what marketing have you done? I'd be like, asshole, I don't get paid.
Yeah.
Who cares? I love that guy, his marketing guy, and he doesn't get paid. It was so funny.
Live in room four.
Yeah. I sleep on a cot. You know, what do I know about marketing?
On a semen-stained bed.
Yeah. I sleep on a bale of hay in the back barn.
I'd rather sleep on a bale of hay than the semen-stained beds.
Oh, I love that. He goes, they're like, what is that? I don't even want to know. And he goes, I'll let you know. It begins with the letter S. And they're like, oh! And I was like, that's right, shit! No.
Yeah, I was like, well, how many words start with S? So let's start.
It's shish kebab.
It's scallopini.
Well, what's funny is the place was like supposed to be dog friendly, where you bring your dog, and then there's stains everywhere. And they're like, oh, what are these stains? It's like, hey, there's dogs. You bring dogs. Nobody cleans it up when your dog pees on the floor.
That dog is running around the hotel just pissing in random rooms.
Yeah, Layla.
It's trying to mark its territory.
Because all these other foreign dogs are always there. And that's what's funny is when Gordon's eating, Layla comes and lays by the table. And there's one part, Layla's up, passed out, and he sticks two fingers to take, like, the pulse. Layla, are you still with me? And he's like, and then he goes, when he goes swimming again, Gordon in a Speedo again, and he goes.
He's always got to show off his package.
And he goes, Layla, did you beep in the pool? They show, like, Layla running by, like, oh.
Like, yeah, she squatted over the edge of the pool and took a jump.
I was like, how does that work?
That but doesn't look like a stick with moss on it.
Toilet.
I love when the lady goes, you know, the place is supposed to be dog friendly, but some people's dogs aren't friendly with other dogs. And I have my dog on a leash, and then there's this other dog just running around everywhere. It's like, yeah, I know. I didn't think about that. It's like the guy was such a dumbass. And
that place is not going to survive. I would like to know if it's still open.
Well, he did like an incredible renovation to it. And he goes, and the carpets are clean.
But did you notice he may have done all the rooms, but the hallway still has that atrocious floral wallpaper?
Yeah, he didn't do the wallpaper. I was surprised by that. And also, what was weird is he didn't bring up the pay thing at all. But at the very end of the episode, he goes, Gordon, I got to tell you something. Everyone starting today gets a salary. They're all getting paid. And he goes, oh, that's wonderful. And when he did you notice when he tells them, He tells each employee, he goes, you get a salary. This is your pay. And here's a check for $500. They're not like, oh my God, thank you. They're like, good. All right. You know, like, it's about effing time.
It's about time. Thanks. Yeah,
none of them are like, thank you so much or anything. Cause no.
Well, also, they just kind of didn't even bother the fact that he said he was $5 million in debt.
Yeah, like, how does that work?
Yeah, how is he paying people $500 a week now if he's $5 million in debt?
Is he sitting on a nest egg, or is he just bad with money, or what?
Yeah, that place is not going to survive.
We're done diddly done for.
Exactly. Well, guys, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Top Chef Duels, The Strain, and Defiance. So we'll be right back, everybody. Whee!
For God's sakes, man. Please.
The problem with supermarket donuts is there's no telling how long they've been laying there. So come to Dunkin' Donuts. We make them fresh, day and night.
May I point out our special offer? 2 pizzas for the price of 1.
Oh, thank you very much.
Excuse me, your shoelace is untied.
Oh. Yes, I'd like that 2-for-1 offer.
I'm sorry, that offer has expired.
But I just bent over to tie my shoelaces.
He did, he bent over.
There's nothing I can do.
Show him your shoelaces.
Some pizza places have temporary 2-for-1 offers. At Little Caesars, you always get...
Pizza, pizza.
2 great pizzas for 1 low price.
Good morning. It's time for a healthy breakfast.
This time, your kids will eat it.
A cereal with lots of protein.
Don't worry, your kids will eat it.
And complex carbohydrates. It's Cinnamon Life cereal.
Relax, your kids will eat it. Cinnamon Life has cinnamon deliciousness baked on the inside, cinnamon crunchiness toasted on the outside. Cinnamon Life tastes so cinnamon good, even grown-up kids will eat it.
Is this cinnamon stuff good for us? What do I know? I'm 3.
Cinnamon Life cereal.
Unless they're weird, your kids will eat it.
Wouldn't you love a thick, rich chocolate mousse? Think you can't? Well, yes, you can.
Introducing Weight Watchers Chocolate Mousse on a Stick. You think you can't, but...
Yes, you can.
The nutrition in Kellogg's Mini Wheats helps keep me strong and limber, but the kid in me loves the frosted side as much as chopping timber!
Now Kellogg's Frosted Mini Wheats makes room for something new. New bite size. Shredded wheat nutrition. Great taste, too. Now even more fit on a spoon.
The shredded wheat nutrition helps me keep the beat, but the kid in me finds the tasty frosting knocks me off my feet.
Kellogg's Frosted Mini Wheats. Original and new bite size. Enjoy extra sugar-free gum.
Come on,
you get extra refreshing flavor that keeps coming through. Extra sugar-free gum lasts an extra, extra lovely time for you.
Sugar-free extra is unsurpassed among sugar-free gums in helping to fight cavities. Unsurpassed. And extra has NutraSweet.
Extra refreshing flavor that keeps coming through. Extra sugar-free gum lasts an extra, extra, extra long time for you.
Extra helps fight cavities and lasts extra long.
There's orange juice, and then there's Premium Choice, the new not-from-concentrate orange juice from Minute Maid. A taste so wonderfully fresh, so naturally pure, a lot of people are calling new Minute Maid Premium Choice the Gourmet OJ. It's orange juice at its best, squeezed from 100% pure, fresh Florida oranges, not from concentrate. Take one taste, and you'll know why people call Minute Maid Premium Choice the Gourmet OJ.
My mouth has a terrible time waking up in the morning. Come on. You know why? Most cereals bore it to sleep. Come on. Want to see it come alive? Watch. Quaker Natural Cereal. My mouth gets a charge of whole grains, honey, almonds, raisins, a bunch of different textures, a blast of different tastes. That's reveille, man. My mouth will never get back to sleep. Once you taste Quaker Natural, everything else is just cornflakes.
A word about mounds. But don't take our word for it. Ooh, for yourself.
In Denmark, where they have delicious food, they also have a delicious way to eat less when they diet. Fiber-trimmed sparkling fruit tabs. A fruity drink with fiber that helps to fill them up. Delicious sparkling fruit tabs from Fiber Trim.
For you, my sweet, someday I'll yearn. So I'll protect you from freezer burn. Zipped in a Ziploc freezer bag so tight, you'll be protected night after night. For if, dear fresh and juicy morsel, you're wrapped up wrong, you'll taste just awful.
Ziploc seals flavor right in here. Ziploc will keep you safe. Have no fear. Oh, to think when next I meet you, thanks to Ziploc, I'm going to eat you.
Ziploc, we've got the lock on food protection.
On the horizon, there's something so stirring it will send you in a whole new direction. New Tropicana Twister. Six refreshing fruit combinations that will surprise your tongue and splash you with flavor, like orange strawberry banana. Here it comes. New Tropicana Twister. The taste will blow your thirst away.
Just what the doctor ordered.
This is a Cajun Spice Ruffles potato chip. Now, some people might think it's too hot. No, it's not too hot. It's spicy, yeah. Now it's hot, I guarantee it.
Cajun Spice Ruffles bread potato chips.
Why do you care what I eat for breakfast?
Maybe we shouldn't discuss this while you're under the influence of sugar and preservatives.
And what should I be influenced by? Nuts and twigs?
Very funny, Rita. Come on, one bite.
Oh, great. Nutri-Grain.
The surprising taste of Nutri-Grain almond raisin cereal with no sugar or preservatives added.
Almonds, raisins, this is much better than I thought.
Yeah, kind of like me.
Kellogg's Nutri-Grain.
She looks great.
That outfit wouldn't lie.
If she eats one more thing, I'll scream.
Oh. Oscar Mayer oven roasted turkey is just 25 calories per luscious slice. Someone here already knows that. So go ahead. Just 25 calories a slice.
I think it was my love for dessert. But sugar-free Jell-O pudding with all NutraSweet is the dessert you don't have to desert. Hey, Danny, here's one figure you miscalculated.
A word about Almond Joy. Take our word for it. For yourself.
Which is the number one chocolate drink in America that has vitamin A?
Yoo-hoo.
Vitamin B2?
Yoo-hoo.
Vitamin C?
Yoo-hoo.
Vitamin D?
Yoo-hoo.
Niacin?
Yoo-hoo.
Calcium?
Yoo-hoo.
Phosphorus?
Yoo-hoo.
Potassium?
Yoo-hoo.
And is 99% caffeine-free and tastes delicious? Yoo-hoo. Yoo-hoo chocolate drink. Great taste with nutrition. And remember, shake your Yoo-hoo.
$4.19. This job gives you an appetite.
You can't handle a big dog on an empty stomach. I like Snickers on a hot day right out of the icebox.
Chilled and packed with peanuts, Snickers really satisfies.
Snickers really satisfies you.
One of these strawberry fruit snacks is heavier on the fruit. Fruit Roll-Ups from Betty Crocker. They have twice the fruit of Sunkissed Strawberry Fun Fruits and a third less added sugar. Betty Crocker Strawberry Fruit Roll-Ups, heavy on the fruit.
Spread on this, take off that. 36 calories, can't beat that. Give them all a little pat of butter.
Pure natural dairy butter. It has only 36 calories per pat, the same as margarine.
Give them all a little pat of butter.
The season's begun, so get ready for some fun. First, Ben's faced with a dating dilemma.
Lesson number one. A telephone is the lonely guy's best friend.
I'm not calling one of those 976 numbers.
Kirk's sister Candace guests on the season premiere of Growing Pains. Ben.
Uniforms? Cheerleaders?
It's Dennis the Refrigerator Blunden.
Look at this. A backfield in slow motion.
The season premiere of Head of the Class after the season premiere of Growing Pains. Tomorrow.
What a great day for singing our new song. Good time, good time, great taste, great taste. That's why this is our place.
Our place.
The good time, great taste of McDonald's.
That's why good things are great.
Good slaves,
good time, great taste.
Of McDonald's.
Hama, hama, burger, hama, tick-tock, bebop. Hama, hama, fries, hama, tick-tock, bebop. Hama, hama, tick, hama, tick-tock, bebop.
Good time, great taste.
McDonald's.
Here's the spot.
For the first time ever, Red Lobster presents 30 shrimp on 4 incredible ways for just $8.95.
You've never had so many shrimp, so many ways.
Shrimp that are golden fried. Scampi, you just must try. Shrimp baked with lots of spice and lemon peppers, oh so nice.
You never had so many shrimp at such a price.
The deluxe shrimp sampler, just $8.95. Kids shrimp dinner, $1.95 at Red Lobster.
We know how you love seafood.
That hurts my ears, that smoker's laugh. That
hackers.
Have you
that's,
ever, like,
yeah, that's really bad.
Cough. Yeah, when they laugh, but then their laugh turns into...
And it sounds like emphysema.
Sounds like Muttley on the...
I can't do the Muttley laugh.
Not many can.
It's really hard. I think Muttley had problems.
He was just smoking.
Yeah.
Muttley had a oxygen tank.
Do you remember there was that one lady on Big Brother named Rennie who had that weird ass laugh? Do you guys remember that?
I forget it, thank God.
It was like Big Brother, I can't remember what season was, but there was this older lady and she had the weirdest laugh. She was like So, it was like, what the hell kind of laugh is that?
Sounds like a dog whistle.
Oh my God, it's so weird.
God, stop playing that.
Okay, Top Chef Duels.
The sound they make when scanners are going.
Yeah.
Top Chef Duels with Stefan. Did you guys get to watch this?
No.
You guys didn't get to watch this? Aw, bummer, because Stefan is back, and it's him versus CJ. And I don't know why he doesn't like CJ, but I'm sure he has his reasons. But CJ tells us why he doesn't like Stefan is because Stefan's all business. And at one time he told CJ, he goes, dude, being a restaurateur and a chef, it has nothing to do with going to your little farmer's markets all the time and making food, if that's what you think it's about. And he was like, what are you talking about? Yes, it is. That is what it's about. But, you know, Stefan's like, how many restaurants do you have? And he's like, well, I'm opening my first one. He goes, I have 6. And the guy's just like, you're a dick. So Stefan knows how to rub his nose in it, you know what I mean? And annoy him. But also, CJ, I don't know what, you know, Stefan makes really good food, but CJ kicked his ass, basically.
Oh, really?
He won each round, and then he won the duel at the end. So he beat him 3 times.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So
and they,
6 restaurants doesn't make him a good cook.
I believe he's a good cook, but he says at the beginning in this clip here, he says that I'm retiring. I'm actually getting out of the business and I'm going back to Finland. And they're like, oh, really? And then
later on,
as he's cooking, he explains, Bill, that his mom has Parkinson's. And he's going back home to be with her. So it's really sad, you know, bittersweet kind of thing. And, he didn't really say that to them. He said it in the little, like, talk session they do.
Wasn't looking for any sort of sympathy.
No, not at all. And so here's a clip here of what happens. And I, you know, it's funny because Stefan, the season where he lost, he was the front runner to win, and that guy named Hosea won. We were like, who is that guy? Has anyone ever heard of him before? Again? But,
no.
He has a restaurant or something. I remember he was that one season of Top Chef they had all the old winners come back. That's when I saw them again. But it's almost like Richard Blaze, you remember, he should have won the year he won, but he choked, and then that girl won. Well, it's almost like Stefan did the same thing, but he wanted to come back and win again, and it just didn't happen in All-Stars. That was when Richard Blaze won, you know. So I was hoping they, it was like, I think Stefan's kind of a dick, but he's a playful dick, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't wish him any ill will, and I wanted him to do better. But as each time he lost, I was like, damn it. What can he do to win this thing? Oh, and they also had the actress, is it Shailene Woodley or Shailen Woodley?
Yeah, she's nuttier than a shithouse rat.
Yeah, she's a forager. She likes to forage for food and stuff. So they had Stefan and CJ do it.
Me too. I forage, but in my refrigerator.
Well, what's funny is
he forages at Target.
What's funny is that guy CJ goes, actually, I forage for food all the time. That's one of my things, is he goes out and he gets berries and stuff like that. And you get different kinds of grass and weeds or something. I don't know, but sounds good, doesn't it, guys? So
weed grass.
Let's check this out.
Stefan, CJ, welcome to Top Chef Duels. You've both been here before, but neither of you have got your hands on that title of Top Chef just yet.
I was so close so many times.
What will it mean to you, Stefan, if you get it this time?
Listen, it's my retirement season. I'm going to pack my stuff and I'm retiring, so...
Really?
Yep. This is it. I'm moving back to Finland. My mom is not doing so well, so I want to go home and hang out with her a little bit. And I overstayed my welcome, and I don't want to come.
What about you, CJ?
I'd love to win, but I'm already really excited that Stefan's leaving. That's the restaurants are all business for Stefan. There was a defining moment for me when he said, you know, CJ, you can't run a restaurant successfully going to the farmer's market. And I just looked at him like we really can't be friends ever. I can't ever remember a moment when he was so excited about food. And I think that you've got to have something that you care about to be a great chef. So that's why I don't really respect him that much.
Stefan, this is your challenge. Really tell us about your dish.
I made a pre-cured smoked salmon with a dill mustard, the roasted fingerlings, and a bit of an egg mousse.
I had a pin bone in mine.
Oh, I got one too.
Do you charge extra for the pin bones, Stefan?
This is a finished specialty.
That is a tasty plate of food. Pin bones and all. CJ, tell us about your dish.
I made pike perch roasted in embers with a broth of fried potato, mussels, garnished with curry leaf and dill.
Well, CJ, you know what you made, and then having a look at Stefan's dish, and do you think that you've beaten him?
I think he was pretty safe, and it's his challenge. I thought I'd go a little harder, but that's how Stefan wins. He does classic stuff, and he does it well.
Stefan, do you feel confident in your dish?
Of course I feel confident in my dish. It's my mother's dish.
Well, this wasn't my mom's dish, it was my dish. I want to win for something I did.
Stefan, tell us about your dish.
I made Thai coconut pork bisque with dumplings we used to make in Thailand. They go in like a little potato dough-ish cover.
Do you, CJ, think that you've done enough with this dish to beat Stefan?
I think so. I think it was pretty well thought out. I think, again, he's made a million sort of Thai soup in a bisque way. And dumplings, but not really, more like meatballs. They're a little sponged out. I think mine's better. I think it's more thought out, and I think it's more progressive. And so, yes.
Okay, Stefan, while he just talked a fair bit of smack about your food.
Was that I didn't mean to be told. You're so mad. I don't know.
No, I'm not mad. You have done this 4 times on national television. You're always going to come out, buddy. You always remember that.
I'm not going to talk back. I'm still worth it. I've learned if you say stupid on television and you're a complete douchebag to people, it comes back and bites you.
The winner of the duel is CJ.
I got the stick on that. That's what I got. I got the short end stick on that. God could not cook better than I did. Heartbroken. Boo boo.
You've got such skill in the kitchen. I love looking at it on a plate.
I love after he loses, they still like, you cooked wonderful food. Just wasn't good enough.
It sounds like he's matured quite a bit.
He has. He was just like, yeah, I'm not going to talk shit. You know, maybe he's rewatched seasons he was on. He's like, I guess I was kind of a dick.
Yeah, he was a dick.
But I haven't seen he does the thing afterwards where you compete online or whatever. I haven't watched any of that, but I ought to check it out. Because he's supposed to go up against Mike Isabella, so I got to check that out.
Oh, yeah, you got to watch that.
Okay, so The Strain, Bill. Did you watch The Strain?
I did watch The Strain.
Are you loving The Strain?
I'm loving The Strain. I keep telling you, I'm fighting going to the books.
I know, like, because after each, the way each episode ends, they do a great job of going where you go, no, it's over, and kind of a thing.
And it moves so fast.
It really does. And the way this episode ended was the same way where it was like, oh, come on. You know what the one funny thing I've noticed on the show is that I love the main characters like F and Abraham and the girl whose name I can't remember and Samwise. Huh?
The girl.
Yeah, the girl. And also even the rat guy, which I know his name is like Varys or something. I forget. I don't remember.
Wasn't he House in the hockey movie?
In Mystery Alaska, his name was Tree.
Tree. House Tree.
Yeah, that's where I always remember him from. He was a guy named Tree because he was like a tree. He was so big. What's funny, what I was going to say is like, I love the main characters, but I noticed like when they introduce, remember when they introduce F's ex-wife, Ephraim's ex-wife? She seemed like a bitch, didn't she?
Yeah.
Well, they introduce Samwise's wife. She's not understanding at all. She condemns his friends. She doesn't want him to do any of it. It's like, what is the deal with the wives in this show?
Yeah, I guess maybe because maybe she has cancer, so you can't really.
She's cranky, you know, because
she's cranky. Yeah, it's the chemo.
Well, it's like this. The housekeeper last week, she noticed that the mother of the two kids, she was like, we need to get the F out of here. There's something crazy with her. She was like, do I have something in my eyes? And this little clicking thing happened to their eyes. She goes, yeah, it looks good. And she got out of there. So she's at home with the kids, and she called the husband. And he arrives from some long flight at the beginning of this episode. Steven, I'm so sorry. You haven't seen the episode yet. We're going to spoil some stuff for him, Bill. It's the It's Chief from Battlestar Galactica.
I was trying to place him.
Yeah, he's like, oh, why isn't nobody's picking up at home, whatever. And so the housekeeper calls. She goes, I have your kids here at my house. Don't go home or whatever. And he goes, what are you talking about? I'm tired. I'm going home. Just bring the kids in the morning, okay? So, you know, the guy doesn't listen to her at all. He goes home in a cab, and he's like, the guy's like, sorry, the machine's on the fritz. I can't use credit card. Got to get cash. He goes, oh, okay, I'll be right back. So he goes to walk up on the porch of his house, and there's a Strigoi, like, standing there going, and he's like, can I help you?
How you doing, bud?
And he starts walking away, and all of a sudden there's another one like, and he's like telling the cab driver, drive away, drive away. And he goes, why are you getting back in the cab? He goes, drive away. And he goes, what is your problem, man? Nobody listens to anybody on the show.
Yeah.
So the thing comes around to the side of the door, and its little proboscis thing is going against the window. And the guy goes, what the hell? Takes his gun out of his glove compartment. He goes, hey, buddy. And he goes, shoots him in the head.
So at least he got one good shot off.
Yeah, but then the other one goes, and he's like, grabs him by the neck, and he's like, oh my God. So the chief from BSG runs into his house. He's like, whatever his wife's name, Helen. He goes, are you here? Hello? And all of a sudden you see a figure in the hallway, and she walks forward, and she's like, bleh.
You're not Helen.
He's like, ah! And dude, what is it they did to her? She looks freakier than any of the other ones because her hair is all frizzed out and shit, and she's just like,
oh, she's a special kind of ugly.
Yeah. So anyway, cut to the housekeepers at home, and the kids are like, when do we get to go home? She's like, I can't reach her father. We're not going anywhere. And her daughter's like, Mom, we're taking them home. Come on, kids. And they're like, yay. She goes, no, don't take them home. Something bad is happening there. She goes, I'm taking them home. And you're like, stupid, listen to your mom. So she's like, well, I've got to go with you. So they drive to the house, and you see the cab, like it's opened up, the lights are blinking or whatever. I don't know. You can obviously tell something bad happened in that spot. And she's like, see, this doesn't look good. She's like, come on, let's go inside. The first thing they see is a weird, gross-looking splatter on the front door entry. And they're like, she's like, this doesn't look good. She's like, hello, is anybody here?
Let's go in.
Yeah. So they go in, and they see the dad. He's on the ground. He's like going, oh, he's got like blood all over him. And they're like, ah, daddy! So it's kind of like upsetting, right?
You look really good, dad. What'd you do?
And all of a sudden, here comes mom. She's like, and you're making that weird kind of like sound, Bill. And they're like, ah, mom! And so they run away from her through the hall. And then you see the other, there's another one in there too. And he's like, ah! And they're like, ah! So where do they run the room that they can't get out of, Bill?
Of course.
They run into, was it like a winery or something? It was like a bunch of, a humidor. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, they close the glass door. It's glass, Steven. And they're shooting their things against the, like, going, poof, poof,
shooting my things.
The proboscis thing or whatever. I don't know what to call it. And, they're screwed. They can't get out of there. And their mom and the other one is there. So, anyway, we'll come back to that later. So they go to Samwise, you know, and they're like, you know this Nazi guy. You've worked for him, so we want you to get in touch with him. We're going to lure him out, and he will lead us to the master. And he's like, oh, I don't think so, guys. And the wife's like, you need to get them out of our house, you know. She doesn't want to help at all. So he decides to help him, and it's funny. The way that they lures him out is he says he never disposed of that body, Bill, and he wants $100,000 to get rid of it.
Huh.
And immediately that the Nazi guy's like, it's the Jew. And it's funny later on when he meets Sean Astin at the train station, he goes, where's the Jew? And I expected Sean Astin to go, he has a name, man.
Yeah.
His name is Abraham. But he goes, what Jew? What are you talking about? And this scene was pretty creepy, too, how he goes from, you know, the guy's very good at, he's friendly. He smiles. And all of a sudden he switches like, you know, like that. And Abraham follows him onto a train because he's got him. Then he steps off at the last moment. You know, everyone's on the train, and he's on the train with them, and he's going to follow him. But all of a sudden, he steps off at the last moment. So Abraham steps off. And I'm like, no, what did you do? Because now it's just them two there. Like, he thinks he's following him, but the guy knows Abraham's following him the whole time. And something bad happens there. But you know what I think is funny also, Bill? The guy who's in prison with his friend who got the worm in his hand? He's like, oh, I don't feel so good, man. He's super pale. And he's like, yo, man, my friend, he needs a medic or something. He goes, yeah, yeah, someone will come down later. It's like, do you see this guy looks the shade of white? Like, he looks like a sheet of paper. That's how pale he is. And the guy's like, yeah, whatever, buddy. He doesn't care at all.
This man who has naturally dark skin is
yeah,
not
the
pale.
Guy is
he's
Hispanic,
fine.
Okay? He does not look right. And I love when he goes, you don't understand. That thing attacked me. They're freaks. There's some kind of weird thing. He goes, yeah, whatever, druggie. And it's like, this guy, he doesn't look like a druggie. He looks like a boxer or something. He looks healthy, doesn't he? He doesn't look like somebody who's strung out on dope or anything.
Well, the show has the world's worst police officers.
It really does.
I mean, whether it's the CIA, FBI, whatever,
yeah, the FBI.
They're all just assholes.
Yeah, like, hey, you, freeze. It's like, yeah, you're going to tell this strange vampire thing to freeze. So, okay, here's the clip here where Sean Astin goes to meet him. But there's also a part at the very end that was very strange, where the little kids and the housekeeper and her daughter, they're pretty much screwed. The one of the vampire dudes goes and he gets an object, I can't remember what it was, and he smashes the glass. So they get inside, and right when the mom's about to drink the blood of her daughter, she's like, Mommy, no! And she's like, whatever. All of a sudden you hear, like something shoots her in the head, like this silver bolt. And they turn up and they look, and there's these dudes in like black shrouds, Bill. Like they're covered in like these, they look kind of badass, don't they?
Yeah, they look like almost like a paranormal SWAT team.
Yeah, but they're obviously also vampires, aren't they?
Yeah, at least I think the only one we saw was the leader of the group who has that vampiric look about him.
Yeah, and he's like, are you okay? And they're like, uh-huh. And he's like, come on out. Let me get a close look at you. And it's just like, I'm not going anywhere near dude. That guy.
Yeah, he checks the kids. They're okay. But the daughter of the housekeeper got cut.
Yeah, when they first went in the house, the mom shot the thing out at her. And she kind of like batted it with her hand. But then she was holding her hand like, like she got cut. So he's like, what about you? Are you injured? She goes, no, just a scratch. He goes, do you mind if I take a look at it? She holds out her hand. He goes, oh, okay. Looks good. Okay. You can all leave. So they get up and they're walking away and he goes, not you. Stay there to the housekeeper's daughter and you'll see what happens. Let's check this out.
No luggage, Mr. Gant. And no Sylvia. Won't she be joining you on your train?
Where's the money?
Where's the Jew?
He's such a friendly guy.
What Jew?
He's here somewhere. I can smell him. And he's managed to recruit you into his pathetic crusade. You're now on the wrong side of history, Jim Kent. It's not too late. You and your wife could still be part of a glorious new order. But make the wrong decision here, and you condemn Sylvia to a painful and lingering death. I'll ask you one more time. Where's the Jew?
Christ, I have no idea.
I could bring you right here. Turn you.
If you do anything, you see those cops over there? They'll be all over you.
Yes, they'll most likely do nothing.
They'll get killed too.
Wow. Yeah. Then I guess you've made your decision.
Consider your wife dead.
8230385. You really thought I would lead you to him? I want you to stay in jail. Fitting that we should end our journey where it began, on a train platform.
This time, I'm the one with the weapon.
Sardu's sword. The master will be pleased to get it back.
And come and take it.
This is my sword.
Once again,
now.
You follow a false messiah who will prove as horrific as the last one.
I give you another day of life, Jew, for services rendered.
Bolty!
Come to me. Did they injure you?
No. No?
Good. Bring the young ones to me. Come over here. I want to have a look at you. Make sure you're okay. Did they scare you? Huh? I bet they did. Good. You look okay. Come here. How about you? Did they hurt you? No? Well, that's a good thing to know. Hmm? And how about you?
It's just a nick. I'll be okay.
Oh. May I see? Good. Good. Take the children. Go. No. Wait a moment. Wait. Be quiet. Do not touch her. She's corrupted.
And that was the end of the episode. I was like, what the hell? Who are those guys? It was so cold the way he shot the girl in the head, but
it's better you don't know.
Yeah, it's almost like, I guess once you're infected, you're screwed. They're not going to perform surgery and pull it out of you or anything, no. I'm guessing. But this guy is obviously one of those Strigoi vampires, but he's... The only ones we've seen, except for the Nazi guy, are mindless kind of zombie-ish ones, right? Where they're just.
But also,
like,
he's a different type of Strigoi because the Nazi guy is like noseless and green. And just, he's like an extra corrupted version. This is a different strain.
It's almost like he was, are you going to say more ancient?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's what it is.
In World War II, we know he was human because there was another flashback here with Abraham in the camp where he recruits, he finds a carving and he goes, you know, who did this? And Abraham confesses and then he says, I have a job for you. And he is the one who carved the giant crate thing that the master
sarcophagus.
Yeah, he's the one who did it. And he's really creepy too. Even before he was a vampire, he was creepy.
I think that's a prerequisite for a Nazi bastard is to be creepy.
And you see before the episode, before the flashback ends is, Abraham sneaks into, he sees where all the silver and dishes are and he steals a knife made of silver. And, so I can't wait to see in the flashbacks how Abraham kind of did everything he did and stole the master's sword and stuff like that.
That's what's killing me. That's why I want to read the books. And I understand it's a trilogy of books.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just going to have to suck it up and not go to the books because I enjoy the show too much.
Yeah. I like when this episode ended and I had no idea who the guy was. I was still like, damn it, I want to know who that guy is, but I'm willing to wait. I don't want to just look on Wikipedia or something, you know what
I mean? Yeah, that's no fun.
Yeah, I want to find out for myself, because I thought it was immediately cool that this dude had this cool gun that shot, like, silver, like, I don't know, what are they? Like,
they're silver rods. It's a bolt gun.
Yeah, like a bolt gun thing, and he's like, she's corrupted. But the way he goes, come here, let me have a look at you. It's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I love the way he tries to have a type of bedside manner, but it's just so freaking creepy. So all you do is you hear the clicking and the weird... Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, it was like... Like that weird kind of like... Oh, he's purring. He's friendly.
Oh, he just scratched the back of his neck. He'll warm
like
right up to you.
Kind of a predator-ish sound, right?
Yeah, very.
What I almost thought, like, when they open their mouth and the thing comes out, it's like their body is host to this giant, you know, the worm that gets in them? That's right. The worm, isn't it? And it's just grown gigantic?
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe. Orbit. I think maybe those are just the parasitic creatures.
Yeah,
I think those
like
are throughout the body.
If it uses your body like a cocoon and
right.
The worm becomes
because it's
else.
Almost like they have a mind of their own, isn't it? Because when they open their mouths and then it starts to come out like... It's like... Aah!
Yeah, it's the feed instinct.
Right. Cool. I can't wait to see more of that. Now let's talk Defiance. It was a two-part season finale, which I was bummed about because last week was two episodes. I was like, well, how did the season blow by so quick? It's because they burned off 4 hours in two weeks.
2 weeks.
Which I'm not sure. I guess they have something to air next week, Bill, in the time slot, something important.
It's not necessarily a good sign.
I'm really hoping this show comes back for a third season because I thought this season was way better than the first season. A lot of the dialogue was funny and witty. And I love the stuff with,
were they burning them off before Thursday night football?
I don't know. Well, I loved all the Daytac and Stama stuff. You know, like after they have sex and stuff, he's like, I could come back home. And she goes, well, we'd be 50-50 partners. And, she starts naming the stuff and he goes, you manipulated me.
Just like it with her cholo or something. Just the language is cracking me up the entire time.
Yeah. And, I even love later on after they get kidnapped and they're chained together and they're just bickering the whole time and Stama just starts going, cause she just can't get away from his bickering.
There was a great moment where he finally starts to realize that she actually is much smarter than he is.
Right. He goes,
like, she knows how to control everything, whereas he just tends to be a bull in a china shop.
Yeah, he gets mad and then he kills everybody or something. And I love when he goes, stop pretending to be smarter than me. She goes, I'm not pretending. Yeah, I am smarter than you. He's like, get out of here. And she's like, ah, just like sends her out on her way. I love all that stuff. But, you know, the stuff with, I started to actually, when, the stuff with Irissa, I liked the whole idea with the floating rocks, and then it was actually, the big rock was Earth, and the little rocks were ships, debris in space, and she can control them and stuff. I thought that was really cool, because really, if you think about it, it's not Irissa, it's actually the Ark brain doing all of it.
Right.
This artificial intelligence thing. And I like the way it also used Doc Yule's, she still has that ego implant where she can see her ex-lover. And it, as soon as she gets there, it like hacks into it and it makes her friend like start to manipulate her.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool how it just does whatever it can to survive. And dude, I'm always like Tommy, the character Tommy. I thought he was cool or whatever. You know, he's not one of the main characters, but I was really bummed out by his fate. I thought he got the bum end of the stick, didn't you?
Yeah, he certainly did get the short end of the stick.
It showed that he was just an honest guy. And even in a flashback, it showed that he loved Irissa and he wanted to marry her. And of course she was like, you're crazy. I'm not marrying you. But it showed that he was a genuinely decent guy. He even gave Nolan money to find Irissa before he left. You know, that happened between the seasons or whatever. But we know that he's a good guy. And the fact that he, you know, Nolan's like, I liked even like, sometimes they don't do a very good job on shows or it's cheesy, but I liked how he would look and see people standing as getting slid across the snow, you know?
Yeah.
Like first he sees Nolan at a desk and then he sees Irissa standing there. I liked his little flashback things. And I loved also the manipulative thing that the Ark brain did to her, where it was Tommy saying, she can bring me back to life. All you got to do is help her or whatever. Did the way it was manipulating her.
That was pretty twisted and upsetting.
Yeah. And the fact that she had to say no. And you know what? I genuinely felt like it showed that actress who plays Irissa, her acting, you know, with all that makeup on, when she finally gets the thing out of her and she comes back to herself, remember he goes and gets that Arathian dude?
Yeah.
She goes, where's Tommy? And he's like, Tommy, no. And she just straight breaks down like, no, I killed him, didn't I? That genuinely upset me. That was like a good moment, like, or it made me want to cry because
Yeah, they're all getting very, very good. Like, it was just really well done, full of emotion. Very good scene.
Because you know she loved Tommy, but she's like this tough, stoic person who's like going to just push off his affections. But, you know, she did love him. And to realize that I'm the one who killed him. But also, Berlin, that was upsetting too when he pulls him up and she sees Tommy dead. Because, you know, she loved Tommy too. That was sad. And what was it, that part where, you know, first of all, did you guys go, dude, when New York gets destroyed?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, they were working with what they had, but damn.
But it was like, holy shit, she really is destroying New York. Like, it totally gets terraformed. I like how they show the little creatures walking out and stuff.
And the sprouting out of the ground, the big rocks.
The dead body with the new plant life growing over them.
Yeah, and you can hear people screaming. So pretty much everybody in New York died, right? Or a lot of people.
A lot of people, yeah.
So that's really awful.
Yeah, after I watched it, I was like, man, I wonder how the game is going to handle this. It actually made me want to log in and see what's doing in the game.
I know. Well, what about at the prison? Because, first of all, Linda Hamilton's character, she seems to have her shit together, but I'm thinking like,
she's a loopy Looney Tunes.
Well, first of all, there's this fantastic scene where Daytac comes home and Linda Hamilton, or Pilar is her name, she's having a talk with Stama. This scene is great. And then later, you know, because Alak is still mad at his dad, and so is Christy. Is that her name?
Christy.
She hates him too, where she lets it slip that Daytac is back living at home, so they, of course, storm home to see what happens. So let's check this out. This is funny.
Is there a problem?
Daytac, welcome home, my love. You remember Pilar?
Rafe's wife?
I do. She was something of a junkie for the mood stabilizers I would procure for her back in the old days.
That was a long time ago. I'm much better now.
Good. Well, I would hate to return after a long absence to find you insulting my wife in our own home. It might lead me to extreme action.
Oh, offense was taken, my love. Pilar was merely asking if we might allow Alack and Christy to live under her roof for a while. I'm afraid my answer disappointed her.
Oh, that is a shame.
Well, while I've been gone, you two have carved out quite the niche for yourselves. I've asked around. You know, some people find you scary. I don't, of course. I think you're a carnival act. Funny. Little white-faced clowns. I remember when Daytac used to do card tricks for old Earth dollars. You, Stama, you were a housemaid. Do you remember that one time when our regular maid was sick and you came over and cleaned my toilets? You had a gift.
She's good at everything.
That was a long time ago. Now your beautiful home belongs to the Earth Republic. Your wealthy husband is in prison, and your daughter's love is mine.
Nothing remains for you here. Take your unfortunate son and leave our town. I won't warn you twice.
You know, she blew my husband.
What?
Just like she knew.
Oh,
she's lying, of course.
Of course.
Of course. Welcome home, Tanizu.
Why is he here?
Your father and I have decided to move forward together. As a family.
After everything he's done.
All my misdeeds are behind us, Hanyatovo.
I'm not your Hanyatovo.
Let us look to the future. One that would be incomplete. Without the family together.
Our family? You mean the one you scarred and tried to drown? Are you aware of how much pain you've caused?
Well, it's not like I dropped a whore from the top of the Gateway Arch now, is it?
Oh, my God.
Christy. I'm sorry.
That was... Thank you for that. Just... I appreciate it. Father of the Year.
Well, Father of the Year.
Could you make this any more difficult?
I meant it as a joke. I thought it was funny.
God, Daytac is awesome. I love it.
Oh, my God, the deadpan that Tony Curran pulls off on that is just beautiful.
And I love Alack. It cracked me up when he goes, Father of the Year. He's like, God, that cracked me up.
I love that.
That whole bit was cracked me up also when Nolan shows up with the guy, the Arathian dude, and he takes him to the guy from Ghostbusters, William Atherton.
Dickless.
And he's like, yeah, we could use this guy and we could pull the thing out of him. And they're like, what are you talking about? And she's like, then the doc is like, no, I can install a virus into it. So they're like arguing over which one they're going to do. And Nolan pulls a gun on him. And it's just funny how, you know, nothing works. But I love the fight scene where the guy shoots a taser at Nolan and he grabs the wires and pulls the guy towards him.
That, I was like, holy shit, Nolan can survive that shit. Don't be messing around.
And the Arathian dude goes, are you going to fall down? He goes, yeah. And he goes, falls over. It was funny stuff, man.
It was a really great episode.
And, yeah, and I liked all the stuff where they, it's almost like, I liked that it went back to season one because we thought it was all mystical mumbo jumbo. Like, what is this mystical bullshit? Because we've been through mystical stuff like Battlestar Galactica or even Lost.
Yeah.
So I love that it was all explained away that it's not mystical stuff at all. It's this arc brain that deals with little nanobots and shit. Yeah. And it's doing whatever it can to survive and complete its mission. And I love what the guy says. He goes, we just saved the planet. And I, you know, you realize at that point when he says that, it's like, and no one will ever know or no one's going to ever appreciate what you've done. And one thing that I wondered is at that point, the place caves in on Nolan in there. What happened to that dude? Did he get did they don't show him again.
No, he's in one of those pods.
Is he in one of the pods too?
I thought he was.
I thought that was Sukar there at the end.
Oh, maybe it was.
Oh, it's funny when Nolan looks up, he goes, is that Sukar? What is he doing up there?
He's hanging out.
He's in one of those bubble things.
So is Nolan and Arissa.
But I thought it was a really well-written season of the show. Oh, and how great is the part where the reason they get Stama and Daytac get kidnapped is because Raga, he goes to what's his face, and he tells them all their crimes. Basically,
Raga's a dick.
I know.
Raga's dead.
I know. And then they show up, and they go, "No, gentlemen, don't get up. Come on,
but
please."
But are they dead? Was it just the paralytic they used, and then dumped them in a hole?
Well, they get paralyzed, and their eyes are like open and blinking. But then they throw them in a hole and close it. And I'm wondering, are they just gonna die in there?
Yeah, well, that's what I assume. That's the plan, but they could. How long does the paralytic last?
I know. I was waiting for him to go, maybe stop trying to get my Skittles. I was waiting for him to go, I'll be back tomorrow to deal with you or something. But no, they're just like, shall we go? You know,
Skittles, that big iron lid over the top.
As soon as you see him shuffling the cards with gloves on, it's like, what is he doing with the gloves? Oh, they're screwed. I just love that though. It cracked me up. Poor Raga. He was just jealous. He was in love with Stama, wasn't he?
He was a gorilla.
I love that they gave him dialogue this season. Like last season, I don't think his mask moved or anything. I just think he was like,
they probably upgraded the technology.
Yeah.
He was paralyzed. He comes around, he's touching his face. You see his eyes.
Yeah. I love he's got his hands all over him. I thought he was going to go and snap his neck or something, but he was just toying with him. I love also Daytac entertains himself, doesn't he?
He really
has a good time being him.
Well, it's not like I dropped a horse from the top of the Gateway Arch now, is it?
Oh, and also the whole time he's like going, just munching down on all this food.
His fingers are covered in that chicken grease.
Yeah. And I like when Linda Hamilton kidnaps her own daughter in Alak, the girl's like, what do I do? And she runs to... And she's like, Fobby's, or whatever. And he goes, well, spit it out. What is it? She's like, they've taken them. And so they go to get bust Rafe out of jail. But when all these crazy lights are in the sky, they said all the prisoners started rioting. So they didn't know what to do. So they just started executing them. And she's like, Berlin is like, what are you doing? You're relieved of duty. Everyone go back. And he's like, I'm not relieved of duty. And he hits her over the head, then puts her in the firing line. And I think that what that showed there is if there is a season 3, which I hope, her character will have lost all faith in the Earth Republic, right?
Sure.
She will also be heartbroken because Tommy's dead. And she'll probably want to kill Arissa as soon as she sees her, right?
That's probably a wise assumption.
I thought it was funny.
So, it's gotta come back, but, come on, sci-fi. You never know. I just saw this show that Heather and I always watched called, Longmire. That got canceled, and I haven't told Heather yet.
No, you better hold on to that one.
She loved that show more than I did.
Like, Let her discover that on her own. Don't tell her.
Yeah, I was like, I'll watch it with you, and, you know, I like it okay, whatever. You know, it's not like Breaking Bad or anything, but I always thought it was more like Justified, but more family friendly. No, that's not good, because it's still bloody and stuff. It's more, it's less gritty, Justified, maybe? I don't know. So, Bill, what do you say we do some news?
Yeah, but I'm going to go take a pee real quick, so drag it out.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So, Bill, you go do what you got to
do. I'm
going to
go do my business. I'll be right back.
Okay.
I just wanted to warn you.
Whoops.
Oh, dear.
I have to pee so bad.
Oh, my dear. Why would somebody tell somebody that?
Don't know.
All right. Well, we'll wait for Bill to get back.
There are times when we all fall down. Can't seem to get off the ground.
Okay, turn it off.
How'd you get back so quick?
I was just taking a pee.
That's really fast.
The bathroom is 20 feet from me to my left.
Well, that's good, Bill. All right, Bill's back.
I hope you had a hell of a piss, Arnold.
It's Bill, not Arnold.
All right, Bill, you want to do some news?
Yeah, let's do it.
Whee!
Father of the Year.
I love that. Thank you very much. I hope we're to say...
That was... Thank you for that. Just... I appreciate it.
All right, Bill. What do we have in the news this week?
All right. First story is actually from where I live. Newark, Ohio. On her Twitter feed...
Hello?
A Newark Memorial High School teacher described in explicit terms her desires for her students. She wanted to pour coffee on them. She wanted to stab them. And some of them, she said, makes her trigger finger itchy.
What?
Yes. Alerted by one of her colleagues to the tweets, which are laced with profanity and racist remarks, the district disciplined the teacher, Krista Hodges, with a written reprimand, and she continues to teach. Hedges has apologized, saying she meant none of it seriously, but some in the school community are stunned by the turn of events, given the alarming sentiments the teacher expressed. Among them...
Shock me, shock me, shock me!
I already want to stab some kids. Is that bad? Another tweet.
Tolerance.
I'm getting Starbucks for sure before school tomorrow. That way I'll be refreshed and have something to dump on the little a-holes.
I'm gonna stab him with this pen.
I don't know where she was going to Starbucks, because the only one I know of is in the Kroger here. We don't really have coffee shops in Newark. So happy to be done with school for 10 days, but especially to be away from the ones who truly try my patience and make my trigger finger itchy.
I
mean, if these just go on and on, she is an idiot. You're a teacher in like a public setting. Twitter is probably not the best place to vent.
Probably not.
And that's just, it's irresponsible, and it's kind of,
Don't do it under your name, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of, if you have to do it under like a pseudonym or, make a character out of it. Don't actually have it listed as Mrs. Hodges.
Some people find you scary.
It's just stupid, stupid, stupid.
Wow.
I'm much better now.
Yeah. And I can't believe that she still has a job, but it just shows how desperate they are for teachers in this area.
Oh, gosh.
All
She's
right.
She's not a good teacher.
Yeah, why
I
not?
I hate children.
In the Bay Area, Bradenton, a Manatee County deputy shot and killed a man waving a samurai sword at him Thursday morning during a domestic situation. That's always good. According to authorities, deputies responded to a convenience store where a woman said she was beaten by her 31-year-old son.
Oh,
and
God.
This asshole is waving a samurai sword around. And he charged at the deputies, and they put him down. Great. Perfect.
They put him down?
They put him down.
Great samurai killed when they have to.
I just kind of, this whole thing works into the idea that police are just so ready to shoot people.
What a moron.
I mean, honestly, the guy comes out with a sword. How much is he really going to do?
Right.
I mean, you know, why can't you use tasers?
Yeah.
Or... you know, shoot him in the knee or in the foot. Instead, no, let's just fill him full of lead. That'll work. He's obviously mentally ill. When I read that stuff, I just get so irritated. And it's been going on more and more recently, it seems.
Yeah, it is.
Shock me, shock me, shock me.
It is in the news quite a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, it's really disturbing trend. Basically, don't do anything where police might have the means of using a gun. That's
unless
pretty
you're
much
Jack
it.
Bauer, which he's allowed to kill everybody, right?
I think that's, yeah, well, yeah. He's Jack Bauer, damn it. Tomorrow, August 30th, 2014, is National Bacon Day.
Oh, yeah! Woo-hoo! Bacon!
Yeah, I just had to bring that up.
Don't we all love bacon, though?
Everyone loves bacon.
We're just
so,
not gonna
yeah,
open up
go out and
bacon.
Celebrate with some bacon.
Bacon!
I love that lady. Bacon!
Like me, we'll have some breakfast, eh? Some back bacon sandwiches while we're waiting.
Oh.
That sounds delicious.
Prescott, Arizona, 22-year-old man referring to himself as the
what
Dark Lord was arrested after he allegedly set a Bible on fire and then urinated on it in front of the steps of the Prescott Rescue Mission. Eric Minerato Prescott was standing on the steps of the Gospel Rescue Mission on Lincoln Street when officers were called about 9 p.m. by an employee who said a man was burning something in front of the mission.
I have to pee so bad.
Minerato was dressed in black and wearing a long black and red robe with a pentagram necklace.
Now back off and let me pee.
A wet Bible that appeared to have been burned was on the ground.
It's in the Bible.
He told police that he burned and then relieved himself on the Bible and chose the mission because he believed it was a place of worship and was cursing the Christians.
Not anymore. I'm going to burn it down.
God, that's a long time to get there.
When asked why, he replied simply because he is the Dark Lord.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hey.
I mean, good Lord.
He was arrested and taken into custody, booked into the Yavapai County Detention Center for unlawful symbol burning and a misdemeanor. Well, so it wasn't that bad. That won't, like, go on a permanent record. He'll still be able to get a job. You know, first name Dark, last name Lord.
For God's sakes, man. Please.
That guy was very dramatic, wasn't he?
He was.
Stop the lie!
It's no lie that he is the Dark Lord. Not of the Sith. He's not Darth Vader. But he is a Dark Lord nonetheless. Portsmouth, Virginia.
I want to have a look at you.
No.
Yeah, no. A suspected robber was injured on Thursday after police say he tried to jump out of a window to get away from police. I think if
dramatic.
Police are coming after you, windows really aren't that big of a deal. They'll probably shoot you on the way down. An officer saw the suspected robber, chased him into a hotel. That's when officials say he tried to jump out of a window. He was injured in the process. What they don't explain is if he made it through the window or if he just, like, plastered himself into it. Like, that didn't work too well. Just boonk. Oh, damn, that hurt.
Whoa, that's good squishy.
Two pranks set Alaska's giant floating hot dog on its way down the Mantasuka River. Or Mantanuska River.
Yeah, good.
A giant hot dog that's now a moving landmark on the Susitna. Yeah, Susitna. There we go, Susitna Flats. West of Anchorage appear to have been the victim of not one, but two pranks. Left tied beneath the Old Glen Highway Bridge over the Mantanuska River over a decade ago after being swiped from Little Miller's Ice Cream near Wasilla. It was discovered there by the Miller family. We tried to recover the hot dog as it swung from the bridge, one of the store owners said Thursday. A tow truck was responding to retrieve it when a separate group of kids cut it loose and the recovery crew arrived just in time to watch it float downriver.
Well, it's not like I dropped a whore from the top of the Gateway Arch now, is it?
Yeah, it's just a foam hot dog. It was a big deal to my family back then. It just wasn't funny at the time. The hot dog, Keith said, was Miller family trademark, first used at the family store. and the community of Houston along the George Parks Highway later moved to a summer-only storm whistle. Most of the kids working up there were in grade school when it happened. Along with the hot dog, Gary made lots of ice cream cones.
I love footlong!
So I guess this hot dog is just kind of the thing to do. You know, you steal the hot dog and do something crazy with it, and it just it continues to happen. There's a great picture of a group of guys, the hot dog washed up on a beach downriver, and they set it on fire. So now it's been properly toasted.
Jump on those big wieners.
Wiener. Wiener poopy.
Thank God we got the wieners.
And that's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Wiener poopy.
There we go.
Would you like to do some DVDs?
Yeah, why not?
Let's do it!
Let's do some DVDs! HD Blu-ray standard definition!
DVDs! Woohoo! Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, everybody!
My chest hurts.
I don't know where you magic pixies came from, but I like your pixie drink.
Yes, I do too.
What does that have to do with it?
What? All right. What do we have in the DVD videos this week?
Releases for September 2nd, 2014. Starting off with The Bride of Frankenstein on Blu-ray. Jesus. Somebody get that man some oxygen.
I know. No, he's going to go out and have a smoke first.
He's got to get... Well, you can't have a lit cigarette around an oxygen tank.
Oh.
That'd be dangerous. All right, so this is the 1935 James Whale Bride of Frankenstein. In fact, wasn't this involved with the Gods and Monsters film they did a couple years later with... Well, not a couple years later. Like 60 years later with Ian McKellen and Brendan Fraser. Where he played James Whale, Ian McKellen did at least. It's like it kind of blended into this this older Universal monster film.
Yeah, I know. I remember that.
Yeah,
I know
what I'm going for.
I saw that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I always love whenever Universal goes back and remasters these films. And puts them out on Blu-ray. So I'm definitely going to be picking this up. That's gross. Next, Blu-ray. I don't know if this is the first time it's been released on Blu-ray, but this is a huge release for people of the 90s. Casper, the Universal Studios 1995 film with Bill Pullman and Christina Ricci.
Why?
Oh, yeah, I saw this in the theater. I did.
You did?
I was a huge Casper fan, and I took my brother, half-brother Nicholas, when he was very young. I was like, hey, let's go see Casper, and he lost interest in it really fast.
Yeah, it wasn't really very good.
Let us look to the future.
I just remember I went to see it, and it was a bunch of kids that went to see it, but they were all obsessed with the boy that was in it. That was actually the voice of Casper, and then by the end of the movie, he's a real boy.
You know, you reminded me of Leonard Maltin did a review of it. He gave it a bad review. He goes, this movie made me think of something I never thought about when I watched Casper the Friendly Ghost when I was a kid. Casper's a dead boy.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Wow. It's basically, when you watch Casper the Friendly Ghost, he's just a friendly ghost. He just wants a friend, and it's kind of sad, but he's a dead boy.
This brings an entire backstory that was never necessary and is quite frankly depressing as hell.
And remember, Christina Ricci's dad, Bill Pullman, he gets killed in the movie, and then he's a ghost. His, like, spirit gets pulled out of his body, so he's a ghost, too. And right. then he gets to
and
go back
into
his body.
And she's now an orphan.
Yeah, but I believe he gets to go back into his body.
Oh, later. Okay.
Some people find you scary.
I love Casper.
One yeah, of my Kathy favorite... Moriarty's, like, the evil lady that yeah. wants to take over the house, and... By the end of it, she gets killed, and then she's a ghost.
Yes, and you know, one of my favorite—I just wanted to bring this up. It's has nothing to do with the movie. I love the Casper the Friendly Ghost episode where Casper goes to the moon, and he helps the Moon Men defeat these weird tree trunk monsters.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do.
He goes underneath the surface of the moon because, you know, he ties their feet together. I loved that when I was a kid, but the movie didn't have any of that in it, Bill.
What, Moon Men?
Yeah, but you
no,
know,
I
it
don't
did
remember
have,
Moon Men.
It had new brand spanking new CGI technology. Right?
Yeah. It's
of
really
course.
not a movie I would be paying $20 for to actually own.
That was, thank you for that. Just, I appreciate it.
No problem. Next we have Creature from the Black Lagoon in 3D on Blu-ray.
Yikes!
Another Universal Monster classic getting a release on Blu-ray.
How many times have you? I've actually seen that movie a lot in my lifetime.
Oh, God, yeah. I've seen it way more times than I can count.
I've seen it more than, like, Dracula or Frankenstein or the Wolfman or any of those. I was more of a Creature of the Black Lagoon dude.
Well, Creature from the Black Lagoon is one of those films that it had such an effect that Marvel instantly was like, well, let's start pumping this shit out.
Did
or not Marvel, I'm sorry. Universal.
I bet they did.
So they did Revenge of the Creature
right.
in 55. And then they did, the last one was The Creature Walks Among Us.
Is it in the first one or is it later on where he's in the water park tank thing?
That's the last one. That's The Creature Walks Among Us.
You're just a funny looking creature.
Right.
Yeah, they actually put him in a water park.
Yeah, what a bad idea.
Yeah, so,
I could drink you right here.
I think it's The Creature Walks Among Us that they covered on Mystery Science Theater. Or no, it was Revenge of the Creature that they did on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Awesome, I want to see that.
Yeah, and it's, Revenge of the Creature actually had, Clint Eastwood's first film role.
Oh,
so, there's a little part in the movie where they're like, isn't that Clint Eastwood? So,
For God's sakes, man. Please.
I would stick with the first Creature from the Black Lagoon and skip the other ones.
Yeah. This is a good one.
All right, moving on. We have Destroy All Monsters on Blu-ray. This is the balls out nutty Godzilla movie.
Awesome.
With, God, it's got a ton of them. It's got the baby Godzilla in it.
A monster!
Oh, yeah, I love that little guy. Oh, he has a name. I learned it recently. No, his, like, real name, like, what they called him. I guess Japanese people called him, but I don't remember it. Somebody in the chat room tell me. Look it up on Google real quick.
Yeah, I'm not
going
to
talk. That's why I'm the Monster Man.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that show never came back.
Another Universal Monster film, we've got the original Dracula, or Dracula.
Boogie Monster.
Yeah, and it's two of them. It's Dracula and Dracula in Spanish, in case you want to get your Spanish groove on.
Nice!
Yeah, who doesn't want to watch Dracula in Spanish?
Stop it! It's an embarrassment.
Next, we have a film that my dad asked me about. I don't know why he's so excited to see this. Draft Day with Kevin Costner.
Oh, God.
It's like, hey, has that come out yet? Can you get that for me? And I was like, why? Exactly. The last thing I think of when I think, hey, good movie, the NFL draft.
Okay, that's something.
Yeah, I just don't see how they actually made a movie out of it.
What's his name, Steven?
Manila.
Manila? I don't, that's not right.
Who the hell are you talking about?
Oh, Baby Godzilla.
Oh, he's from Manila?
Oh, that's a shame.
The only reason I'd watch this, because Kevin Costner, he's a good actor, and Jennifer Garner's in it, good eye candy. Maybe it's entertaining.
Sam Elliott's in it.
Manira Zelazing? I don't know. Anyway, go on, Bill.
No idea. I had no idea this was directed by Ivan Reitman. But,
Yeah.
Apparently it is. What's the synopsis here? The general manager of the Cleveland Browns struggles to acquire the number one draft pick for his team. Holy shit, that sounds riveting. I'll let my dad watch it. Firestarter on Blu-ray.
Stop the lie!
All right, Firestarter. That is a film I've seen many times on cable back in the day of 4x3 CRT televisions, Bill. I have never seen it in HD, and I'd like to.
Yeah, I'm not even aware. It's actually in scope.
Have
it's
you ever seen
C35-1, so.
Have you ever seen it?
Me, yes, multiple times on cable.
Yeah, I've always liked it.
I always thought it looked like Drew Barrymore was constipated whenever she was trying to start a fire.
Well, like I just remember they would
breaking out in sweat and squinting.
They blow a fan on her, you know. Well, she was a child actor. She was just doing the director said, like, look intense.
Look like you have to go to the bathroom really bad.
Is there a problem?
But I've always wanted to read the book, and I'm guarantee you the book's better than the movie, but I was always entertained by the movie.
Yeah, I've never read the book.
I always like when she goes full Carrie at the end, which basically she does, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a second, Stephen King, that is.
Seems well, you know, he's allowed Carrie. To repurpose ideas.
Yeah.
All right, next we have...
And I guess you've made your decision.
Yes. Mom's Night Out. This is one of those wonderfully... sanitized type films from the Christian producer film library people.
Absolutely. Right.
Where everybody can go to the movies. You can take the whole family.
Absolutely.
And it's got,
mom.
Yes, it's got your mom in it. Trace Adkins, Patricia Heaton, Sean Astin.
Oh, Sean Astin's in it.
Yeah,
right.
Well, he needs a paycheck.
Straight from The Strain to Mama's Night Out, right?
Yep. Yeah, why not?
And this is a scene from the movie. Somebody says to Sean Astin,
I could drink you right here.
Oh, my God.
Get part of it!
Yeah, I'm...
are they like stay-at-home moms who are, like do homeschooling with their children and they need a night out away
they
from...
They go to church
shenanigans.
On Sunday. Yeah, it says, Allison and her friends want a peaceful grown-up evening of dinner and conversation. The long-needed mom's night out. But in order to enjoy high heels, adult conversation, and food not served in a bag, they need their husbands to watch the kids for a few hours. What could go wrong?
Oh, and you know, men, they can't change diapers or any of that stuff.
No, men are incompetent.
The kids will get into shenanigans.
Whenever they show a guy changing a diaper and it's super stinky and he's got a clothespin on his nose or something.
She's corrupted.
Oh, my God.
That diaper's corrupted.
But I love how it's just always the thing where the guy's like, oh, poo-poo. You know, it's like, come on, it's just poopy. And it's your child's poopy. It's no big deal.
Your poop really smells worse.
Yeah. It's poopy.
All right.
Get it away from me.
Wiener next, poopy.
Wiener poopy. Next we have The People Under the Stairs.
No! Scary! No,
yes,
it's actually
1991. I remember this.
It's not really a scary movie.
No, it's awful. It's the,
some people find you scary.
It's like, isn't it a brother and sister?
It's like this creepy brother and sister, like, they call each other mom.
Yeah.
Mommy and daddy.
It's a take.
Yep.
They got that from
it was
Reagan.
Well, remember when it came out, people said that the whole thing was an allegory to the Reagan administration.
Yeah. Wow.
But that was really reaching there. Basically, the movie is just a bad Wes Craven horror movie with the people under the stairs are actually like slaves who are trapped there from
kidnapped by the.
Yeah. And, were you scared by it, Steven?
No.
Did they, scare you? Huh? I bet they did.
Oh, they did, didn't they, Steven?
Not too bad.
Yeah, good.
Yikes.
Last show I made a really bad Rain Man pun joke thing, but this week we get to actually get Rain Man on Blu-ray.
Uh-oh, fart.
Yes, Raymond. Did you fart, Raymond? So yes, what the frig?
Did you fucking
what was
fart
that for? You scared the shit out of me, dog. All right. So Raymond on Raymond, Rain Man on Blu-ray.
How can you stand that?
Sweet. I actually really like Rain Man. It's a good movie.
It is. It's a very good movie.
Especially when they go counting cars and they're making all that money.
Counting cars.
Cards.
Oh. It's like, what? They became used car dealership?
They count cards.
Yes, they do.
Who's on
and,
first?
And Valeria Galino is in it. And
what happened to her?
I don't know.
She was fantastic.
She just kind of disappeared. Next we have They
okay,
Came
that's something.
Together.
What is it called?
They Came Together with Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler. When Joel and Molly meet, it's hate at first sight.
Oh, well,
that's rude.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It could be good. You never know. So they hate each other, they fall in love, they break up, and whatever.
Is there anything better than falling in love?
I thought it was funny.
Oh.
So
is
right.
that movie supposed to be any good or what? Have you
No, I don't know. I've heard nothing about it.
What's with you today?
I don't know.
Who knows where thoughts come from? They just appear.
Jesus Christ. What?
Today
where does this
you're
come
like the
from?
The Chinese guy from The Karate Kid.
Oh, that guy. All right. And that's actually it for this week.
That's it, Bill?
That's it. We really don't
for
have
God's
that many.
God's sakes, man. Please.
That guy wants one more movie, Bill.
There's nothing else. I'm sorry.
Stop it. It's an embarrassment.
I know. I apologize.
You know, one thing I'm super excited, Bill, about, I'm super excited about, Bill, is Destiny is coming out on September 9th.
Yeah, it is.
How exciting is that?
For God's sakes, man. Please.
What? I want to achieve my destiny.
Stop the lie.
Well,
on,
what have you marketed
lately? I'll probably go pick it up at the midnight release just because I'm a huge dork and I don't expect a line in the middle of, you know, the sticks of Ohio's Best Buy.
Seize your destiny.
Oh, seize your destiny, Bill.
I'll try to do that.
Identity.
Can I end the show first? We'll go outside here in a minute. He's right up in my face.
Well, Bill, thank you very much for doing the DVDs this week. Woohoo!
Welcome.
That was, thank you for that. Just, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see you. Shock me with that deviant behavior.
Yeah. All right. right, everyone. That was episode 301 of Entertainment Landfill. Thank you very much for coming to the show, listening to it live, or podcasting it, listening to it at your leisure. Stephen, do you prefer to say leisure or leisure?
Leisure.
At your leisure. And Bill, it was a rocky start at the beginning of the show, but you did get to join us, which I'm so thankful for. Thank you for being on the show.
Well, you're welcome.
Stephen, also you.
Thank you.
No, Stephen doesn't deserve any of that.
And of course, easy. Baby dog.
She's corrupted.
Oh, I knew it. My dog's corrupted, Bill.
I thought Stephen was corrupted.
Now, everyone, if you'd like to go to etlandfill.com, you could find a link to us on Twitter. You can join our Facebook fan club. You can find a link to all of our old shows, which I recommend if you have a lot of free time, like I know we all do, right, Stephen? A lot
Lots
of free time.
So much.
You can listen to all of our old shows.
You seem to have a lot of free time.
Hey!
There's some gold in there.
There is. You got to look for it, but
yeah, you got to pan for it. But a nugget or two will pop out once in a while.
For God's sakes, man! Please.
Yes, please download some old shows. also, go to send us any voicemails to NimPodcast at. Also, send us any. What am I
voice
trying
bills.
To
say?
Jesus Christ. Your brain is shutting down.
Send us a voicemail at nimpodcast@gmail.com or the or part was messing me up. I wanted to say the email and the phone number at the same time. You could call our voicemail hotline where operators are busy and they're standing by. No, they're standing by. They're not busy at the same time. It doesn't make any sense, Jason.
There's so many people calling.
For God's sakes, man. Please.
I know. I'm trying
Everybody
to.
Everybody to take your messages.
I'm trying to pull this off, okay?
Stop it. It's an embarrassment.
I know. Call 1-206-309-4729. Okay? Also, we'd like for you, the person listening right now, to become a patron. Support the show. Become a patron. All you got to do to do... Oh, my God. What is wrong?
Wow, man.
Tongue-tied today.
Stop it. That's not nice.
For God's sakes, man.
Shut
Please.
Up. Okay.
I'll kick that guy in the ball.
Okay. Let me calm down. If you'd like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/landfill. Go there and become a patron. There's different amounts you can become, and you get different rewards. One of them, just like Ken Preventure, will call you on the show. In fact, we were going to do that with Adam tonight, but he ended up having game stuff where he couldn't do it. Adam Sexton, that is.
Oh, okay.
So we'll do that at a later date. So, I mean, I know it's a little embarrassing, but next time we'll get it right.
Stop it! It's an embarrassment.
I know. I was really busy and I didn't have time.
Stop the lie.
Ah, he's right. I'm lying.
All that free time.
Damn it.
I am so confused.
I know. I am too. No, but seriously and all that stuff, folks. Thank you everyone who is in the chat room for coming to listen. We had a lot of people tonight. Good amount. And now is the time where I thank all of our patrons. Most of all, our first patron, Robert Benihana. I'm saying your name right. I know I am.
Robert Benihana.
Also, Darren Finland, Paul Ty, Tom Aresto. His name, it's funny, it just says Tom here, but I know it's Aresto, so I have to say Tom. And then I go, oh, Aresto! Arrest that man! was that funny, Bill?
I think it all depends on the situation. Rick loved it. He'll give you $100 for it.
He'll give you a free smoke if you bum one from him.
Yeah. But he won't light it for you. You're going to have to do that on your own.
Also, I'd like to thank Todd from the ATL, Steve Steinbach, Brian, Adam Howard, Rick Lidster, Marvin, Sean Uyoka, Michael from Chicago, Hodor! We love Hodor, don't we, Bill?
Huge Hodor fans here.
You know what I was thinking? One of my favorite Hodor moments was in, I don't remember what season it is, actually. No, it's not this last season, the season before. Was that season 3?
I believe so.
Where Hodor looks down a well and he goes, Hodor. And it like echoes.
Just to get the echo.
I love that. That
was a large child.
It's one of my favorite moments. Jason Pash, thank you very much. Ken Proventure, certainly made episode 300 special. I thought that was a pretty good episode, guys.
Yeah,
wasn't bad.
Also, Kelly Murray and Jenny, thank you very much. Bill Lochner.
Hey, Joe, I feel like I need to contribute.
Bill Lafner. Bill Smoker's Laughter.
Bill Emphysema Laughter.
Yeah.
Bill COPD Laughter.
It sounds so unhealthy, doesn't it?
That's beyond unhealthy. That's deathly.
That's like when he coughs, like cigarette smoke from yesterday comes out. It's like, it's all like still in there.
It's still floating in there.
That stale smoke.
Little bits of tar fly out of his mouth.
Yeah. Also, Tom Bickmore, he was in the chat room tonight listening. Hopefully he didn't stop listening when we had the technical difficulties. Also, Cerule Meyer, Adam Sexton, Carl, Slade Bailey, Brandon. It doesn't say their last names. Kelly B. Sly. He's from Melbourne, just like Rick Litster is.
Is Rick from Melbourne?
I thought he was from Brisbane.
I thought he's Melbourne, isn't he?
No, he's Brisbane.
Are you guys sure about this?
Don't argue.
I remember him telling us how to say Melbourne.
Say that I know for sure 100%.
Well, remember he was telling us it's not pronounced Melbourne, it's Melbourne.
I think he's from the Brisbane area.
Okay, Rick.
I could be wrong. Rick, correct us, please.
This is a call out to Rick, and he will correct us. Also, I would like to thank Ross Pogny, and, you know, I thanked Adam Howard earlier, but guys, fantastic voicemail. Thank you guys so much. I'm going to listen to it again.
The earthquake.
It made me really happy. Yes, they're doing well.
I actually, the moment I heard about it, I texted Adam to make sure everybody was okay.
Wow, I feel bad. I didn't even pay attention. I didn't even know there was an earthquake there.
Just, well, you don't have a whole lot of free time.
Yeah, I'm out of touch, guys. Not really.
I hear that laugh one more time. I am going to be doing some damage.
You don't like that laugh?
It is irritating. I don't want to hear it. It's unhealthy.
It is. It makes you like feel bad, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm cringing.
For God's sakes, man. Please.
I know. I want to thank Rob Bickmore, Sam Abbott, Michael Kiley, Andy Sims, Mark Anderson, Terry Farthing, Swiley, Jean-Francois!
We really need the romper room music.
Yeah, we should. I'm going to do that for next time, Bill.
Okay.
So sad.
Hey. Also, Mike Metcalf, Paul Wong Pan, and Nathena! Thank you very much, guys, for being our patrons. If you'd like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/landfill. We'll love you forever. It would be awesome. If we don't get one by next week, it's going to be really sad, won't it?
Stop, you're going to guilt them into
it's
it?
It's an embarrassment.
I was really just setting up a drop, Bill.
Oh, sorry.
Stop it. It's an embarrassment.
See, now it's embarrassing, Bill.
Oh, I got you. I'm sorry.
You know what, Bill? Just
for
that.
I feel really bad.
Just for that, Bill.
Son of a bitch.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Hey. All right, guys. That's our show. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye, Bill. Bye, Steven.
Bye.
Laters.
Bye. I'll go, but it's under protest, and it's just a watch you fail at it.
your carnival act.
Now this is podcasting.
Is there a problem?
This, quite frankly, is very disappointing.
I thought it was funny.
For God's sakes, man. Please.
I am so confused.
Okay, that's something.
Come over here. I want to have a look at you.
Some people find you scary.
Looks like another nightmare.
Stop the lie!
Step out of it!
I'm much better now.
So sad.
It's better to be dead than sorry.
You f***ing bull.
Yeah. Did you bull... Yeah, did you bull... Yeah, did you bull lure you... Yeah, did... Yeah, did you bull you... Yeah, did you bull lure... Yeah, did Lou bull... Yeah, what did you bull do, Lou you... Yeah, what... Yeah, what did... Yeah, did you... Yeah, did you bull lure you hosers to this volcano with fatbacks and donuts?